The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thursday, March 21st, first full day of spring. Yesterday at 4:58 p.m. Central Time was the vernal equinox, which means it was the first day of spring starting yesterday at 4:58. The season officially started. I am Shane Stacks. This is not Dave Elswick. I'm setting in for, but never replacing, the man himself. So glad to have you join us today. It's going to be a great show. I'll tell you here in a second all the cool stuff that we're going to be talking about. You know, normally I fill in on Fridays when it's Fun Friday. Today we've got, we'll do some fun stuff, but we've got some more, I don't know if serious is the right word. Yeah, I guess serious, important topics that we're going to cover. Before that, I just wanted to say hi to everyone. It's been a while since I guest hosted. I always love doing this. I want to thank Dave for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to take the car out for a spin, and I do my best not to bring it back with any scratches or dings. And I've learned long ago that I can't put it up on blocks and run the car in reverse to take the odometer back. So you know, I've stopped doing that. Dave doesn't seem to care anyway. So it is 1:08 p.m. on March 21st, Thursday, according to what I'm looking at right now, and I don't think this is correct. I think this is the inside temperature. It says it's 76 degrees. I'll get the outside temperature here in a little bit for you if you're curious for that kind of thing. But today, Paul Calvert, who's a power panel member, is going to be joining us. Just when he gets here, it's kind of loose. He said about 30 minutes about 20 or 30 minutes ago. So he's just going to hang out. And I'm hoping to get from Paul, because Paul has been on the power panel as they've been at the legislative session this year. You know, Arkansas has sessions. We don't have a year-round legislature. So they'll have legislative sessions, and then they'll have other sessions which I think are more budgetary. So every session that they're convened, they don't always focus on the same things. And I believe right now we're having a legislative session, which is where, you know, they debate new laws or changing laws and bills. You know, I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill, and all that good stuff. So I'm hoping to get an update on him on what he feels have been the high points and the most important things that have happened so far. And the legislature, the reason that not at the Capitol today, Dave normally broadcasts live from the Arkansas State Capitol in Little Rock, in the hallowed marbled halls where important work is done and occasional marble fever spreads. And he'll broadcast live on Tuesdays and Thursdays and get, I mean, maybe during Zach, does he broadcast every day of the week? I can't remember. Or is it just on Tuesdays and Thursdays from the
Monday through Thursday?
Monday through Thursday. So he'll get you. I mean, a lot of times legislatures will just walk by legislators and they'll jump on, or he'll schedule. It's a really good time to, it's always a good time to listen to the Dave Elswick show, but that's a particularly important time to listen if you want to know what the legislature is up to. And the legislature, of course, is the Senate and the House combined. And so they will determine how the law either does or does not proceed and how money is spent, all that good stuff. So anyway, hoping to get an update from Paul on what he feels the high points are. And if anybody else is out there that has been paying attention to the legislative session or any other power panel members or et cetera, then feel free to call in with your take on it anytime during this. Well, actually, anytime up to about 4:30, because from 4:30 till the end of the show, we're going to have guests. At 4:30, we're going to have a Pulaski County Quorum Court update with JP Luke McCoy. As some people know, I used to be on the Pulaski County Quorum Court. And so it's near and dear to my heart to to let people know how important the quorum court is, it's basically your county legislature. Every county in Arkansas has one, Pulaski County being the largest county in Arkansas, and an incredibly amount of big amount of money that goes big amount of money. A large amount of money goes through it, most of which comes out of your property taxes. So, you know, even if you don't live in Pulaski County, don't tune out on that, because we always talk about the importance of quorum courts and how business is handled. And a lot of times what happens in Pulaski County will set precedent or whatever for the rest of the state. So it's kind of how things go. I just saw Zach waving at somebody. That might be Paul. I'm not sure. So for 4:30 to 5, we'll have Pulaski County quorum court update. And then this is interesting. From 5 to 6 today, we're going to be joined by not only Alderman Michael Tierney of Maumelle, but the new mayor of Maumelle, Caleb Norris. So from 5 to 6, and I really want to, you know, get their take on what issues they feel are the most important to Maumelle, and what surprises they've encountered. They're both new to the offices they're in. Now, Caleb Norris, I believe, used to be the city attorney, if I'm not mistaken, for Maumelle. So he you know, has an understanding of how city government works. Michael Tierney is somewhat new to the world of city politics and governing a city. So it'll just be really interesting. So if you have any questions for them or concerns, or if you live in Maumelle or whatever, that's going to be a great time for you to listen and possibly call in. Again, our number is 501-823-0964. 0965. I don't know where 4 came from, Zach. I don't even golf, so it's not like I want to be out on the golf course. That wasn't a Freudian slip from that. So I don't know. 4. Okay. So hopefully we'll get a legislative session recap from Paul Calvert. Here's something else we're going to talk about today. And this came up with a couple of things that happened in my neighborhood. People, when crazy things are happening in the neighborhood, most people want a speed bump. But do speed bumps have negative drawbacks? And if so, what are they? Has anybody out there ever really wanted a speed bump? What did they have to go through to get one? And then after you got it, were you glad that you got it? Here we go. Now, Zach, you know a little bit of this from the Shane Plays Geek Talk show on Saturdays. The Great Girl Scout Cookie War of 2019.
Yeah.
Thin Mints versus Samoas.
Uh-huh.
It just keeps going. I still see other people talking about this.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that the Thin Mint and the Samoa are the two top.
Yeah.
And they're slugging it out.
Mm-hmm.
So people out there have a preference. I want to know about it. Post it on I've got a Facebook. You can go to Shane Stacks Facebook page or go to Shane Stacks for Justice of the Peace. That has been out there forever. I'm not running for JP anymore. And there's posts there, and you can comment what you think or call in at 501-823-0965. What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie? And between Thin Mints and Samoas, which one reigns supreme? And I've got one really important topic that we're going to cover today. I'll mention here in a second. But here's an extra incentive. People got to keep listening for this, Zach. They have to keep listening. At the end of every hour, not before every break, not at the top of the hour, not at the bottom of the hour. Why do they call it the bottom of the hour when it's 30 minutes after, Zach? I don't know. I don't get it, but that's radio jargon. The bottom of the hour, half hour. No. At the very end of the hour, before our last break, or before the break that ends each hour, I'm going to tell a bad joke.
I knew it.
Everybody loves bad jokes. Nobody will admit it, but everybody loves bad jokes.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you smell bad milk and you're like, oh, this is terrible. And then you hand it, smell this. Right?
Right.
So we're going to have a bad joke at the end of every hour.
I knew that was coming.
So people have to. Here is, I'm going to prime the pump. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
I'm going to prime the pump.
Mm-hmm.
This is the amazing entertainment that people can expect. Hey, Zach, have you met Bruce Lee's vegan brother?
No, I have not.
His name is Brocco Lee. So at the end of every hour, folks, you can expect... Nobody will admit it, but everybody loves bad jokes, dude. Everybody loves bad jokes. All right. And then finally, this is, I think, an important thing I want to talk about. I really hope people call in on this. And I talked with a few people online and whatever, and friends, and I got some input from them, including our very own Steve Marston and Lynn Dyer. A buddy of mine gave his input. What are people's number one, and I mean number one, you only get to pick one. What is your number one, numero uno, just one concern or priority for these things? Okay? You have to pick one. You can call in 501-823-0965 or send it to me online or whatever. For your family. So what's your number one priority or concern for your family, your neighborhood, your city, your state, and your nation? So people can call in with any or all of those, but they can only give one for each. Let's get to where the rubber meets the road. You got to pick one. What is it? And I'll throw out an example, and then we'll continue after the break. For my family, my number one priority, now, providing for my family and, you know, having food on the table, roof over the head, all those are always important. But my number one priority right now for my family, I have a 5-year-old son, is to be able to raise him with the values and the ways that I believe in, without society or the government coming in and telling me how I have to raise my child.
I love that.
That's my mm-hmm. number one.
I love that.
That's my number one. We're homeschooling.
Yeah.
Because public school's a disaster right now. Everybody's using it for a battleground for ideologies. Some schools are good curriculum-wise, some aren't. But you send your kid off to school and everybody's trying to use that school for an ideology battleground. All of this goofiness that you're seeing in society right now, 80-90% of it is because they've messed with your kids' heads.
Right.
All this tyranny called tolerance. So, anyway, that's my number one for family. But we also get neighborhood, city, state, and national. I'd like to know what people think.
Yeah, I love that because I have a 12-year-old nephew, and I think about him in the same way.
That's my number one for my family.
That totally makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's my number one. Yep. So, anyway, all right. We're going to get a break in. When we come back, we'll continue. We should be joined by Paul Calvert pretty soon. We'll chat with him and everything. But again, what is your number one, numero uno, you can only pick one, concern or priority for your family, neighborhood, city, state, and national? When we come back on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Well, that guy sounded kind of breathless. Stimulating talk with Dave Elswick. This is actually Shane Stacks and Paul Calvert. Power panel of one today. Paul Calvert has joined us. So back from break. Thanks for joining again. This is Shane Stacks setting in for but never replacing Mr. Elswick. He's off. You know, he's always off when I set in for him. He's always off doing some superhero stuff, Paul.
Please.
Zach. They come up with a cover story. I don't even know what the cover story is now, but he's put on his spandex and he's off punching tyranny in the jaw somewhere. The cover stories is on some kind of family trip. I don't know.
Dave just transforms himself when he wears spandex.
He does. He spins Wonder Woman did, and suddenly he's in spandex. Yeah. I thought about, I don't think we're going to have time to get to it today, but one of the segments I thought about was let's design a superhero costume for Dave.
For Dave.
Yeah. And I was going to try to get Tim Lim in on it and Mark Pellegrini and those guys, but they weren't available to, or at least Tim was. I didn't hear back from Mark, but Tim's out of state. So, but I think that'd be a fun segment. What should Dave's thing? So I've got a topic I'm working on right now.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio coming in.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, so I liked your first answer there with the, you feel your responsibility to your children is that's your job on your family side.
Right.
And I really do appreciate where you're coming from with that.
Well, and I do think, and to recap, what we're going to be doing some today on the show is, and I'd love for people to call in 501-823-0965 or post on Facebook. I don't know, does the video still run on Dave's the Dave Elswick Show Facebook page, or is that going not today? Okay, so I guess don't post there, but you can post on find Shane Stacks on Facebook. I think my stuff is open.
Calvert's.
Or Paul Calvert.
Yeah, you can, I'll be watching my page some.
Or Shane Stacks at Shane Stacks for Justice of the Peace, which I'm not running for JP anymore. That's been a while, but I still use that as sort of a political page. So post there. I'd love to get your feedback or call 501-823-0965. But the thing is, you got to pick just one for each of these categories. Now, Elizabeth just texted me and said, laugh out loud, spandex. That's right. That's right, Elizabeth. We're going to design a superhero costume for Dave. Wow. And Elizabeth, I'd love to get your answers for these too, if you want. And if you're out and about, you're welcome to join us in the studio.
So on the way in, I was listening to your show, and you mentioned bottom of the hour.
Yeah. Which is at the middle of the hour.
It is.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at a clock.
Yeah, I know. It's the bottom. I get it. But if you're looking at an old analog clock, right? But my brain has never thought of it that way. But you're right.
I think that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's the bottom of the hour.
Yeah. Because the minute hand is pointing directly down at 30 minutes. But all right, so what we're doing is you have to pick just one. You only get one, numero uno, the top priority or concern that you have for these following things: your family, your neighborhood, your city, your state, and your nation. And I guess if people just wanted to say the world in general, that'd be fine too. But when it comes to, you know, what we like, our legislation and our politics it usually affects those spheres. And what I had shared before the break, which Paul mentioned, was, I mean, for my family, having a nice house or those, there's nothing wrong with those things, right? But the ultimate thing is I want to be able for my wife and I to raise our son the way we feel he should be raised.
Right. And that's entirely appropriate. Right. That's the concept of liberty and justice, I think.
Right.
Is that so long as you're not like raping your kid every day, the government should probably leave you alone.
Well, and let's clarify that there are times when society should step in.
Absolutely.
If you're locking your kid in a basement for 10 years, or like you said, sexually abusing, there's some circumstances where
there's lines.
Yeah, there are lines, but for the most part, if it's just ideological, you know, I want my son to believe in certain things, or at least give him the chance to know about those things.
If you want to teach your son to be a Buddhist,
right?
Now, I think the government should leave you alone. I think you're wrong if you do that.
But it's your.
But I think the government should leave you alone. And I think that generally speaking, there should be an awful lot of leeway for parents to make decisions about how they raise their children.
Yeah, I don't believe it takes a village for us to look out for each other in certain ways, but it doesn't take a village for me to raise my child.
No,
right? I've always disagreed with that viewpoint.
Well, the thing is that a village has its place, but the fact is you're married.
Right.
Your son has a father and a mother.
Right.
If you had produced a bunch of children out of wedlock, then the village might be more helpful to you.
Right.
But the fact is that you've done the responsible thing. You had a child in wedlock.
Right.
And so your child has a good place to grow up. Unfortunately, there's an awful lot of Americans who are now being born outside of wedlock.
Right.
And even after that.
Well, the family structure falling apart is a big problem.
And so we've got, it's about 40% that are born out of wedlock. And then you look at the numbers, including divorce, and what are we pushing, 60 or 70% that don't have intact families?
Yeah, and that, I mean, I do agree with that we have, we got 2 minutes till break here, to a hard break. But the thing with the divorce rate, that one's hard to nail down. There is a higher divorce rate than we used to have, no doubt. But people who divorce tend to divorce more than once.
Right.
So it skews it a little bit.
You're right.
But yes, we do. I mean, in general, the family structure
is in shambles.
Has very big challenges right now. And, you know, the family structure is not about Disney, I love you. It's about a formal, structured environment to raise kids and to participate in society.
You're
and
taking
all that.
An immature human and trying to turn them into an adult, That's fit to be in society,
right? And I know people don't like to hear that, but you know, a lot of people don't like to hear that.
Is not for them to be a good child. The goal is for them to be a good adult
and a good adult, right? And raised the way you feel best. So, what do we got there? About a minute, Zach. Okay. So again, what we're talking about, I'll recap this and then we'll continue after the hour or after the break. We'll be back at the bottom of the hour and hopefully, I'll get Paul's takes on this. So we want your main concerns or priorities for your family, neighborhood, city, state, or national. We're also going to talk about speed bumps, Paul. I don't know if you heard that part, driving in or not. And then later in the afternoon, we're going to get a Placer County Quorum Court update, and we're going to have the mayor of Maumelle on and new alderman Michael Tierney. So it's going to be a good show today. So, and again, Dave is out. I'm setting in for him, but never replacing. Please don't lunge for that dial. I think you have a good. I think we have a good show today.
It should
so
be
I think
fun.
It'll be good. And I want to get a legislative recap from you, Paul, on what's happened so far. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get to a break. We come back, we'll be talking more about your priorities in those categories. Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. I'm telling you, Zach, that guy sounds breathless. He loves Dave. It's like, Dave Elswick, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Dave. Maybe I like it.
Was he climbing the stairs?
I don't know what happened, but he loves some Dave. So, you know what I've always wanted, and I finally got this. Russ recorded it for me. My whole life, I've wanted a thing that says, Shane Stacks on the radio. And I've got that clip now. Russ did that for me. So they're like, Shane, we need a new promo for your Shane Plays Geek Talk show. So that's coming. That's coming.
Cool.
But yeah, anyway. So later in the show, we're going to have Placer County Quorum Court update this afternoon. And then Luke McCoy, JP Luke McCoy. And then we'll also have the new mayor of Maumelle and new alderman of Maumelle, Michael Tierney. That'll be from 4:30 till 6, both of those segments. Till then, we have several topics, not limited to, but including, what are our main areas of concern on several levels right now, which I'll talk about here in a second. And I hope to get Paul's input. Paul Calvert is a power panel of one today. Thanks for coming in, Paul.
Yes, sir.
And then also, I hope to get a legislative session recap so far from Paul at some point today. Just what's happened so far? What do you feel the high points and low points were and that kind of, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I want to give you a little time to think about it because I kind of sprung that on you.
No, it won't.
Are you ready?
We can talk about it now.
Okay.
I've been kind of living and breathing this stuff to the point where, let me just tell you about how I feel about it right now.
Yeah. Does it involve turning green and vomiting?
Not quite. Let me show you. Let me read to you my last Facebook post. It's, I still hate politics.
You should if you're really paying attention.
And I still love people. And so that kind of sums up my political philosophy.
That's a great approach to it.
I mean,
man.
I hate politics, but I love people. Therefore, I'm engaged.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, politics is not a solution. It's a necessary evil to lessen the damage. That's the way I look at it.
Right. And so the thing is that if we're going to have a free society, the proper role of government is to protect us from having our rights violated.
Right.
It's to
protect the fundamental rights that government doesn't give. They just acknowledge.
Right.
Right.
And so you and I have the right to breathe and to eat and to do these things. But we don't have the right to take stuff from other people. We have the right to our own property. We have the right to our own liberty, but we don't have the right to other people's stuff.
Right.
And so the role of government and free society, I believe, is to uphold rights that already exist. The right to property.
It's not an enforce a false equality based on
preferences or
preferences or hey, you put more effort into it than this other person over there did, but now they feel bad, so you're going to give them some of your stuff. That's not what government's supposed to be about.
No, I might do that on my own.
Yeah.
But that's my prerogative. Right. But for government to do that, we call that theft.
Right.
If an individual does it.
Yeah, you reach in somebody's pocket and say, we have a ideology that supersedes your rights, and we're going to... But anyway.
Right. That's...
Yeah. All right.
But your topic is pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get some interaction from...
So that's basically, what is your political philosophy for the role of government in your family and in your... Neighborhood and in your city and state and
national
government.
And political philosophy could sum it up without a doubt, but really it's your number one concern.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it could be fair enough that somebody's number one concern for their neighborhood right now is the dogs next door won't shut up.
Right.
Right? Now, that's not my concern.
No.
But that could be somebody might have a really nice neighborhood where the biggest concern is... Mm-hmm. You know, the kids don't come in when the streetlights come on. I mean, I don't know. You know,
right.
That's not the number one concern for me in my neighborhood.
No.
But, so it's What is your number one, and you have to pick just one, concern or priority for your family, neighborhood, city, state, or national? And I'm going to share a good friend of mine, Dwight. He and I've got some other responses here, but my friend Dwight, he said, for family, it kind of comes down to the same answer I had, religious values.
Sure.
Let me raise my children and let our family function the way that we think is best to function.
Yeah, just get out of your way.
Yeah.
Get out of my way. Let me do what I believe is right, so long as I'm not hurting people.
Right. And so, like, and I'm not putting, this is not what Dwight said, but I'm going to add to this right. and say, like, in my home, you know, we are a Christian home. That right. doesn't mean that this sort of churchianity that permeates the South. I mean, we're Christians.
Right.
Right? We believe that Christ was real, that he was Absolutely. The Son of God. He's the only way to be redeemed. And I feel that there are many, many guidelines in the Bible to how to live your life.
Sure.
This year, I'm listening to Proverbs over and over and yeah. over, one chapter a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad had us read that a lot. I've got a great deal of it memorized, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, Proverbs is, even if you're not a believer, Proverbs is full of amazing wisdom. Mm-hmm. I love my dad. You know, he had many strong points, but one thing he never did with me was set me down on his knee and say, son, here's how life works. Mm-hmm. So when I read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, I get that from God.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. So it's a really good book
for a month.
To do a month. So I'm redoing it each month.
Nice.
In a different translation each month.
Okay, nice.
Right? So, and the point is, like, I want to be able to say, this is how I think life should be lived mm-hmm. by these proverbs or other principles in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's other people out there that say Christianity is an exclusionary religion, so I don't like it. Therefore, you shouldn't be able to live it in your home. And there are people out there that really think that.
It'd be interesting to see how consistent they are with that.
Right.
With
yeah,
that ideology.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
yeah.
Do they also believe that, well, anybody should be allowed to do anything, and we should still accept them.
Right.
You know, if you go out there and rape your son, I'm not going to accept you.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's some stuff I'm just not going to accept.
Right. Right. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I think is just terrible and evil and wicked, and it's not just because I think it is, but it's wrong.
Right.
And at some point, I think people do certain things, and they should no longer be allowed on Earth.
Right. Well, and that
Breathing.
I believe, yeah, there's... Boy, that one's a hard one for me because mm-hmm. taking a life, even in the justice system, is a big thing. So
it is, and, yeah. and there's some yeah. interesting issues with that because our justice system is so broken. In many
That's
ways.
The problem. That's yeah. I'm not against the death penalty because of the death penalty. I'm very, very, very nervous about the death penalty just because how do you know? Now, if the person came out and said, "I did it." I'm glad I did it. I danced on their graves.
There's 47 witnesses. 30,
right.
30,
yeah, there's
30 different cameras.
Yeah, and even then, I don't like a life ended, but there is a justice system.
Right.
Right? But, you know, it so many times they come out and go, well, we found out later, mm-hmm. or, you know, and that just makes me very
right.
nervous.
And that is a very good argument, I
right.
think, to bring up. And I've kind of
right.
had some of the same concerns.
Right.
As far
but, Yeah, but I mean,
system,
but as far as, I mean, there's a biblical precedent.
Sound for it.
I do think, and this will bother people, I do think that God would rather have people saved than not.
Sure.
So I do think he can save a vile, horrible murderer 1 minute before their execution.
Sure.
I firmly believe that.
Sure.
Because,
there's some indication of that with Jesus on the cross.
Right, yeah. Like, you know, well, the son of Sam. Is the son of Sam, who was like one of the worst serial killers out there, got all the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
He's a legit, real Christian. When you hear his testimony, you're like, I think this dude is legit. Like, you know, because when you get saved, you get regenerated. You literally can become a new person in Christ.
Sure. And so, yeah, I think anybody is capable
right.
of
right.
of salvation.
Yeah, I believe that. Sure. You know, if God, you know, if God's going to come after you and, you know, but anyway, we're off on a tangent. That'd be a really interesting discussion for the Bible answer, guys.
Sure.
You know, it's like, you know, is there anybody beyond salvation and all that? But anyway, so here is Dwight's answers for You know, if you had to pick one thing
for each
Each of these categories, and I think most people, I think 90% of the people that would answer this, these answers kind of cover what they'll probably answer. And folks, remember, you can call 501-823-0965 with your answers to these, or you can find me. I'm Shane Stacks on Facebook, Paul Calvert's on Facebook, and we'd love to have you.
And if you just have one answer for
right, yeah, you don't have to answer all of them. You can answer one, some, or all.
Sure.
So, Dwight said family, religious values. That's important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And like you said, that could, as you pointed out earlier, that could apply to a Buddhist.
Sure.
That could apply to a Sikh. That could apply to, you know.
As long as they're not.
Yeah.
As long as this religion doesn't include, like, child sacrifice or something.
Right.
I think we're good with that.
Right. Neighborhood, he said local safety. I think most people would probably fall into that. City, job opportunities. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think job opportunities for a lot of people would be either city or state.
Mm-hmm.
For state, he said, keep freedoms unrestrained. And I think a lot of people look at the national level for that, but the state should have a lot of say in that.
Absolutely.
States should be able to set, they're supposed to be, there's two entities protected in the Constitution. One is the citizen, one is the state.
Mm-hmm.
But the state has lost a lot of its say
sure.
in things when we changed what senators are and how they're elected. Well, changed how they're elected in, what, 1920 or something like that?
Whatever it was, because they used to be...
they used to be elected by the state.
By the state legislators.
Yeah, they were the voice of the state. And then national, he said national safety.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people's answers would fall under that. Now, I want to get us to a break where, well, we got a couple of minutes. Do you have anything you want to add to any of those?
Yeah, I think that's not too bad. So people typically live close to where they work, and so that would be... A understandable for the city as far as being a little bit further out from his neighborhood. Did he actually answer anything about the neighborhood?
Yeah, he just said safety.
Safety.
Yeah, he wanted safety, which encompasses a lot of things. But yeah, he wants to be safe in his neighborhood.
Right. I think all of us want to be safe in our neighborhoods. And so, you know, where I live in my neighborhood, if someone's breaking into my house, it would probably be better for me to call on my neighbors than it would be to call the police, because the neighbor will get there faster.
Yeah.
And so I don't live in the city.
Right.
I don't have the benefits of having police 2 minutes away. And so if I call the 911, they might be 10, 15 minutes away, depending on how close they happen to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust my,
I know where I live.
And the fact is, generally speaking, out in the country, there's not as much crime. And so you're pretty well safer anyway, in many respects, and I like my neighbors. A lot of my neighbors, and one of the cool things about calling your neighbors when you need help is they know who you are. If they walk up into your yard with a shotgun,
right,
because you called and asked them for help,
right,
they don't shoot you,
right.
They know
you're
who
like,
you are.
Oh, that's Paul.
Right. So they don't have the same disadvantage that the police will have when they show up in your
yard. Well, right. I was actually talking about this with a friend the other day. When the police show up, they've got to be overbearing jerks to establish complete control of the situation and then find out who everybody is.
Police are at a major disadvantage. And one of the reasons why stopping mass killings is so much better if you can have someone who's already there.
Right.
Because they don't have to wonder who the killer is.
Right.
They already know.
Yeah. So Well, restate that. I want to make sure I understand what you said.
So when you have a mass killing going on, somebody's there with a with a rifle, whatever it is, he's just mowing people down. If someone is there already, they know who's doing the killing, they don't have to wonder who the shooter is.
Right.
When the police show up 5 minutes later, they don't know who the shooter is.
Right.
They haven't been there for the last 5 minutes watching this guy murder people. And so when they start shooting, they maybe shoot an innocent person because you know they just took out the bad guy. And the police walked in 5 seconds later, and they see somebody with a gun.
They see somebody with a gun. That's all they know is that,
Because they took the gun away from the bad guy.
And I'm not knocking the police. Mm-hmm. I support the blue.
And this doesn't knock the police. It just recognizes they're at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Well, but I was just expanding on.
Strategically speaking.
I don't think anything you just said knocked the police. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add to what you said, but I want to qualify it at the beginning. I support the blue.
Mm-hmm.
There, as with any group of people, just like at a school or any government entity or whatever, most of them are just average people trying to do their best. And then you got some extremely good ones, and then you also have some bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think every cop out there is bad. I think there's some people that think that, and I think that's ridiculous.
I think a lot of them they're trying to do what they think they, is right.
They're try, most of them are trying to do their best.
I think there's some there's some systemic problems that need to be addressed.
But that's more of bureaucracy and, you know, some of it.
I think some of it's just kind of some stuff that people haven't thought about very well.
Okay.
And just like, you know, there's a common practice called professional courtesy where police officers will let each other get off speeding tickets and things like that. So they don't even write each other tickets when they pull each other over most of the time.
Well, but to be fair, I got pulled over the other day for my brake lights being out, and he did not write. He was like, hey, man, it's going home.
Right.
So,
and the thing is, they'll do that with other people as well sometimes. But at least from what I understand, from what they tell me.
Right.
In a lot of cases, they have special privileges there.
Well, yeah, I'm on the job. I'm on the job or whatever it is.
Well, no, they'll do it while they're off the job.
Well, no, but I'm saying on the job is when you get pulled over, if you say, I'm on the job, that's a phrase that indicates I'm a cop.
Oh, okay.
And that lets the other person know that, like, hey, man, I'm on the job. And then that lets people know that, oh, I'm a cop. And, you know, they're hoping to get a little bit of.
Right. Yeah. Special privileges there. And I've got a problem with that. And I think a lot of officers don't realize that what they're doing there is wrong. Because they're actually
right. It just feels it feels right to Well, the original point I was going to make, then I'm going to get us to a break, is people depend on the police, but the police, for the most part, due to the nature of how life works, and there's only so many police for so many citizens in so many area, police are reactive, not proactive.
Sure. And you don't want them to be proactive for
but
the most part.
We've got into a mindset we want the police to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So. If somebody's breaking into the house, we're helpless and expect the police to take care of it. Well, 9 times out of 10, they're going to get there too late to prevent whatever's going to happen.
Right.
Now, they'll investigate it and hopefully find whoever did it.
Yeah, they'll come draw some chalk lines around the bodies. But
the
thing is, though, that when you have attacks that are happening, the best protection is self-defense.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And there's a... You know, there's a thought in life that, no, just let the police handle it. No, you know, when it comes to your home, you know,
if you don't want as many dead bodies,
there's a certain, at least have a safe room.
Yeah, you know, at least have a means to defend yourself, or else get yourself a cage where the bad guys can't get
through.
That's
what I'm saying.
Safe room.
So, but like I said, I support the blue. I'm glad the police are out there.
Yeah, that's one of the fundamental roles
keeps
of government.
A lot of stuff off of
one of the fundamental roles of government and free society is police. I think.
Right, maintaining the common order and the common good and national defense,
upholding people's rights.
Right. Okay, I'm going to get us to a break. When we come back, I've got a lot. I've got other people's answers on this, but I'm going to hope to maybe get some more answers out of Paul on his categories here. Remember, you can answer these yourself. I'd love to get people's input. I think this is a wonderful conversation. I hope we can get people engaged. But it's 501-823-0965. I'm going to get us to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about this a little bit more. 101.1 FM, The Answer. And this is Shane Stacks setting in for, but never replacing, Dave Ellswick. I love making Zach laugh. That's one of my favorite things to do. When I do my Saturday show live and he's in here producing, I can always tell how the show's going by how he's laughing or jumping around in there. I went to a movie with Zach one time.
Oh, what'd you
see? He loves some Dragon Ball. And we went to this Dragon Ball movie about a month ago. I've never seen somebody so animated. It's worth the price of the movie to watch him jump around.
I don't even know
what
Dragon Ball is.
It's a cartoon from Japan that's real popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they came out with a movie a month or two ago in theaters and I never seen somebody move around so much and interact. It was like way beyond Rocky Horror Picture. You know how they interact with Rocky Horror Picture Show? It's like these people go to the show and they just act it out or something. Zach was like way beyond that. I loved it. Anyway, we've only got about 3 minutes left here. And we're coming up on the end of the hour, I got a bad joke for everybody.
Okay.
We're going to be talking next hour. I hope to get we'll probably talk a little bit more about these categories of concerns that we've been talking about. I want to get a legislative session update from you, Paul. And then I want to talk about speed bumps.
Okay.
A buddy of mine yesterday was talking about, he did some research and found a lot of negatives on speed bumps. And I was like, wow, I've never heard that.
How much automotive damage do they do?
Well, it's beyond that even. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But right now we're talking for the next minute or two, and that'll go, show quick. You know, if people have to pick one priority or concern for these categories, and if anybody wants to call in 501-823-0965, you can answer for one, some, or all. You don't have to answer for all of these, but what's your number one concern or priority for your family, your neighborhood, your city, your state, and on a national level? And, you know, I gave out my family thing because I want to be able to raise my son as I feel is right. That, to me, is more important than a pool or a fancy car or a nice house. Although those things are fine. You know, I don't want to – I like having a job. In my neighborhood, actually, I'd probably say we've had just over the – we have a really good neighborhood Facebook group that keeps each other updated. And there is a lot of petty crime overnight in our neighborhood. Really? People breaking into cars. In fact, the other night – the police, we were talking about the police. Mm-hmm. This is one of the rare instances where they were able to be proactive. Mm. They caught some people in the act, chased them into Sherwood. I live in Indian Hills, and arrested them. Mm. But yeah, they're just constantly breaking into cars and stuff like that. So that's probably, I just don't like people. And there's people sharing their security video of people just coming up to their house and looking around. Kind of and suspicious. Yeah, and that's not. And sometimes it's broad daylight.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest concern in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you said you basically live in incorporated, so you don't have.
Oh yeah, I don't have a. Yeah. I'm not in the city. I don't. Yeah. I'm not in an HOA or anything like that either. And so right. I live out. You know, I can pee off my back porch. I can shoot guns. I can do all kinds of things. And we've got neighbors that we trust, and so it's cool. And
right.
So you know, every once in a while, neighbors' cows will get out, and you know, we just tell them, come get them. They can come up in our yard.
So you're going to live unincorporated until the cows come home. Is that right?
And after. Yeah, So I really despise the idea of, living in a place, and we're right up on the clock, aren't we?
Yeah, we're right. What do we got there, Zach? We got 30 seconds. I got to give out my bad joke.
Yeah.
I'm doing a bad joke at the end of every hour.
Yeah, I heard your first one.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, why is Peter Pan always flying?
Man, I don't know.
Well, he never lands.
Uh-huh.
I like this joke because it never grows old. Folks, we'll catch you after the break. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. We are in the second hour of Thursday, March 21st. Yesterday was the first day of spring at 4:58 p.m. Central is actually when the vernal equinox occurred, which means it's the, let's see if we can remember this stuff, Paul, the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year.
Okay.
The summer solstice is the longest day of the year. And then both equinoxes are the most average day of the year.
Basically 12 hours.
Right.
Light and dark.
So yesterday was one of two most average days of the year you can have for sunlight.
Cutting edge of mediocre.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. That's right. And I got to tell you, I'm not a big spring or summer guy. I'm just not. I discover the great indoors in Arkansas when it comes July and August. When I see the stuff come poking up in the flower bed at my house in the first robin of the year, my heart sinks.
You check your air conditioner, make sure it works.
Yeah, my heart sinks. I'm a winter guy. Mm-hmm. And we did not get – now, I don't like dangerous ice that hurts people or anything, but I like a good snow. And we didn't get one this year.
You know, we got a dusting. We did not get much cold weather at all this year.
It's a little bit better than last year, if I remember right.
It didn't get very cold.
It didn't, but it was cool enough that I liked it.
Yeah.
But I'm much more of a winter and fall guy than I am. Now, spring I can take.
Yeah.
The only thing bad about spring.
It's a harbinger for summer.
It means that, it's the town crier telling you that summer is coming, you know. So anyway, so we're talking about. And folks, again, I'm Shane Stack sitting in for but never replacing Mr. Elswick. And I want to congratulate Mr. Elswick. I called in the other day and mentioned this briefly. But Dave, for the 13th time, Dave, and he posted this on his Facebook yesterday, I think, he's made it into the Heavy 100. The top 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America, named by Talkers Magazine. So congratulations, Dave.
He's done that several times.
13 years in a row. This is his 13th year. Yeah. Oh. So they select talk radio show hosts, not based on just ratings, but ratings are included. Ratings, revenue, longevity, as well as personal effort, impact, recognition, service, talent, and uniqueness. And he says, I'm humbled and thank you for listening each day. So congratulations, Dave. And in August... 50 years in radio for Dave Elswick. That's no joke.
Yeah, and you know how old Dave is.
Yeah. Well, so he got started pretty young.
Yeah, he was a teenager when he started.
Yeah, he got started pretty young. Yeah. Dave is, without a doubt, for better or for worse, the only reason I'm in radio is Dave Elswick.
Yeah.
And I can't
say anything different.
It's something I always wanted to do, but never actively thought of pursuing. And Dave literally reached down and said, hey, do some radio. And so he's been mentoring people like me and you.
Neat.
So, yeah. So yeah,
I guess I never really thought about wanting to be on the radio, but.
Oh, I did. So, I always wanted to be a radio host. I used to be a talk radio junkie.
Well, I've been kind of a talk radio junkie.
Yeah, I mean, I would listen to any talk radio as long as the host was interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't care what the talk radio was. And so doing this, I do on Saturdays, I do Shane Plays Geek Talk, even though, you know, I'm a political guy.
Right.
But I do Shane Plays Geek Talk, and that's a dream for me. Just get on the radio and just talk about stuff I love, you know, and have fun. And my favorite thing about my show, it's called Shane Plays, but it's not just about games. It's just geeky pop culture stuff. And the absolute number one, I still believe in the power of radio because podcasts are great, but radio still has that discoverability. I'm going through the dial. Hey, what's this, right? And you land on it. And my favorite thing is when somebody says, you know, I never even knew of or had any interest in whatever topic it was that you covered, but now it's interesting to me. You know, that is my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, so, that's one of those things that so many times we don't know what we don't know because we've never been exposed to it.
Right.
We haven't been exposed to it yet.
Right.
And so to be exposed to new and different things is awfully valuable to me.
It really is. And if you any topic can be interesting if the person talking about it is passionate about it. Like any documentary can be interesting if the documentary does a good job with the subject. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter the subject if they do a good job. So, but anyway, we are digressing, my friend. Later in the show from 4:30 to 5, we're going to have Luke McCoy, Pulaski County Quorum Court JP, and he's just going to be giving us an update on the Quorum Court.
Yeah, he's also one of my buddies down at the Capitol. He's lobbies for family council.
Right.
So he's down there about as much as I am.
No, he's pretty involved. And one thing, when he comes on the radio, I've had him on multiple times. He'll either come in purely as family counsel or purely as he never mixes the two as the JP, you know, to keep that respect to the separation and the conflict of interest. But yeah, today's going to be a JP update, but the family council does a great job. And then from 5 to 6, we're going to have the new mayor of Maumelle and also a newly minted alderman, Michael Tierney. So that'll be from 5 to 6. So if you live in Maumelle or whatever, you know, if you have any concerns or questions or whatever, that'll be a good time to talk to them. We're also going to get today from Paul because he's been down at the hallowed marble halls of the Capitol for this legislative session. Hallowed, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's said tongue in cheek, right? Yeah, it's not meant literally.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are set apart, I guess, which is the definition of holy, right?
I suppose so.
Yeah, some people think so, even though we own them, right? There are
They should be
halls.
Servants. Yeah.
Yeah, they are our halls. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, man, we're going to tangent a little bit. It'll be like, so-and-so senator's coming to visit, and everybody falls all over themselves. I'm like, I'm not. This person works for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show them respect, but I'm not going to genuflect. I'm not going to bow down. What's up?
I would just say you and Robert would get along with that. You know, he loves saying that. Like, we own
them. Who, Steinbach?
Is that Steinbach?
Yeah, he's filling in tomorrow, if I remember right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I mean, and show them respect.
Yeah, be respectful to everybody.
Yeah, but they don't. They work. Like, we were at Cotham's the other day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of political people will pop over from, and the governor walked in with his bodyguards and stuff. And I'm not saying he shouldn't have bodyguards. I'm just saying he came in and everybody was, oh, that's the governor. That's the governor. That's the governor. And I'm like, yeah, he works for me. Mm-hmm. Right? It's cool to see him, but he's not up on a pedestal in my eyes. And when I got into politics, my perspective on things changed. Mm-hmm. I got a better idea how this stuff works and what these people are supposed to be. So I will show respect, but I ain't bowing down to a civil servant. I'm just not.
No, and we shouldn't. I think that would be bad for them and bad for us as well.
Right.
And the fact is, the governor is our servant, and he needs to realize
that. We hired him to do a job. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember at one time, I think it was Blanche Lincoln a few years ago, had some kind of appearance, and it made the paper or whatever, or it's on the radio, that not many people showed up. Mm-hmm. And she was complaining about that. Mm-hmm. Like that she didn't get her attention.
They owed her something.
Yeah, exactly. No, go to their houses then. You work for them, right? That's how I look at it, right? Now, I'm not saying that they aren't invested with power.
Oh, sure they are. They have lots of power, but it doesn't make them authority figures over us in the sense of, you know, you have authority in your family. You know, your son is obligated to obey you, and he should.
But I don't want him, like, genuflecting to me.
The fact is, though, that he's obligated by God to obey you, even if you have kind of some dumb ideas. The fact is.
If the idea is dumb, I'll answer to God for
it. But the fact is, maybe you want him to wear shoes. And that's his job, is to obey you. That's not
whether he agrees or not.
Whether he agrees or not. And it's not a moral issue necessarily, but it is a moral issue because you said it.
And I wonder. So if it's his job to obey me, at 5 years old, can I send him out like selling papers or something? Little income,
you know. If you want to go on a paper route and take him with you and help him sell papers, that would be cool, actually.
For all of my, sometimes I'm the discipline. You know, marriages are like this. I'm a softer touch than I expected I would be with my son, because I love him. But on some areas, I'm like, boom, this is how it is. And on the areas where I'm not, my wife is, right? So we complement each other on that. But I am much softer than I thought of. But I'm still pretty, there's some stuff I'm very
You prioritize strict. About stuff. I mean, I'm sure that when he starts running in the street,
there's like, stuff I'll get onto about. And there's stuff I don't tolerate.
Not negotiable.
But all the stuff, you know, that I thought I was going to be, they do melt your heart. It's my son, you know? And I'm glad I didn't get a little girl. I'd be done. I would be done. Pathetic. I got to get us to a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about these. You know, what are your number one things for family, neighborhood, city, state, and national? I've got some more answers from people I want to share. And then we're going to shift over into getting a legislative update.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We'll talk about speed bumps at some point today. What are the drawbacks of speed bumps? And then also, we got two things to talk about Girl Scout cookies. One, the Titanic Girl Scout Battle of 2019, which is Thin Mints versus Samoas. You got an opinion on that, Paul?
I don't buy Girl Scout cookies.
Well, okay, take any political, just
if I did?
Yeah.
Okay, I
don't worry about whether you're supporting trouble. I'm just talking about the enjoyment of a Girl Scout cookie on its own merits.
I don't know if I've eaten a Girl Scout cookie recently.
Really? Well, because
I like mint.
There's a Titanic battle between Thin Mints and Samoas as best Girl Scout cookie.
I had mint chocolate chip ice cream yesterday at the Capitol. Marvin Parks was serving it.
Yeah, was it good?
That's ice cream.
I should have gotten some. I should have.
Yeah, so every year.
You didn't get free ice cream?
So every
well, it's because I was drinking the Minute Maid, peach, those drinks that we get.
So every session, every main legislative session that I've ever been to, I think, is that somebody sponsors a bunch of ice cream. They give it to everybody in the Capitol if you want it.
Nice.
I don't know if it's Marvin Parks himself.
I love those little human moments in the middle of politics. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're at each other's throats, but everybody loves ice cream, right? You know what I'm saying? So
a lobbyist is good for something.
Yeah, they're good for something by ice cream.
And I got one of the best quotes from maybe this entire session. We were talking about...
Was the quote, ice cream?
No. It was a lot better than that. Yeah. So it was something to the effect. See, we were talking about one of these unfair taxes, and so I made the comment, well, this is an opportunity to cut taxes. So Marvin said... But this is a Republican legislature.
That's one of my state level concerns that I have to share.
Isn't
mine
that awful?
For a supposedly Republican controlled legislature, we sure are not very red, in my opinion. But
you're right.
Anyway, yeah. All right. So, but yeah, also this is interesting. I learned this lately. And again, I know that the Girl Scout organization can have some troubling. I'm just talking about the American Girl Scout cookie. Just focus on that, whether you buy them or not. It's interesting to me that depending on where you live, the Girl Scout cookie might be a little bit different and it might be named different. I didn't know that till recently, so I thought that was kind of interesting. We'll talk about that if we get a chance in the show. But anyway, we're going to get to a break. We come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what are people's number one concerns for family, neighborhood, city, state, and national here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 in FM, The Answer. And I'm Shane, back, filling in for Dave Elswick, 101.1 FM, The Answer. I love that. He's just so breathless. And I'm not making fun of it. I love it. Okay? I wish he would go, and now, guest host, Shane Stacks and Paul Keller. All right, so we got about 6 minutes till the break. I want to talk a little bit more about these categories. Mm-hmm. What are people's number one concerns? And anytime during the show today, folks, if you want to call in, you can at 501-823-0965. I'll finish giving out mine. For family, like I said, I want to be able to raise my son the way I feel is right. That supersedes how nice. I drive to work and back a 99 Chevy Metro, okay? Nice. 1 liter, 3-cylinder. I don't care, right? That's not my priority. Mm-hmm. My wife drives a nicer car, right? That's not where my head's at.
Yeah, you don't want her breaking down the side of the road.
Yeah, exactly. That's not where my head's at. But what's more important to me, we do that so that, because we're a single-income family, mm-hmm. we decided to do that before we got married, so Sheila can be with Justice full-time, and we're homeschooling and all that.
You planned ahead.
Yeah, we planned ahead. So that's very important to me. Other people, maybe that's not their priority. But, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, although I like nice things like other people, is not my main priority in life. Right. I can get some nice, sure. Neighborhood, like I said, we have some minor crime. Mm-hmm. A lot of breaking into cars and people creeping around people's houses. I think there's a lot of that going on around, but our Facebook group is good about, you know, keeping people updated. For the city, you know, my main concern right now for the city is I live in North Little Rock. Joe Smith said he's not running for another term. So what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. How's the city? How's the government?
Is Joe Smith the mayor?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he took over after Patrick Hayes was in forever. Mm-hmm. You know, so that'd probably be my city. I mean, I know there's some areas of the city that have higher crime than others, mm-hmm. But that'd be my thing. You know, what's going to happen now? For the state, we touched on it already. A lot of people think I'm no longer political. I'm very political. But I no longer just by default support somebody if they say they're Republican or conservative after what I saw with the private option. Mm-hmm. It, you know, not only did we keep going with it, we doubled down on it. We did it. And so I'm very concerned with supposedly we're like one of the most conservative legislatures in this country.
Yeah.
But how the heck is this stuff happening? Now, on social issues, we've done great.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've done about as much as can be done on abortion, short of starting to impeach judges and prosecutors.
Right.
And I would like to see that, but I think that's kind of a lot to expect, even from Republicans at this point. However, I'm still pushing for it.
Yeah. Well,
but,
you know.
But as far as passing abortion legislation to save babies from getting killed by doctors and their parents.
Yeah. I mean, on social issues, Arkansas has been very conservative. On
fiscal.
Budgetary and fiscal and policy, not so much.
It's almost like we have leadership that is sort of like pro-life Democrats, maybe.
Right.
Is that fair to say, maybe?
Sometimes.
Maybe conservative socialists.
Well, they're in some areas they're conservative, but when it comes to fiscal or policy issues, how the heck does that happen in a majority? Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Well, and for crying out loud, you know, Republicans talk about wanting to cut regulations. So there was a bill that was brought by Senator Cooper that was going to make it so you could be a barber, cut hair without a license.
I remember that. I was listening that day. And the pushback was...
Yeah, he didn't feel like he could get anywhere with it. And so he dropped it. He didn't run
Well, the I don't know if unions is the right word, but the barbers organizations went lockstep on him.
If you can't cut hair without a license, how can you possibly say you live in a free society?
Well, my wife cuts my hair. And it's great.
I've never had a haircut at a barber, as far as I know. Unless my parents did it when I was little, I don't remember.
I mean, your citizenry should have the option to know that you're not licensed.
Sure.
And then, okay, I know you're not licensed.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Don't lie about your credentials.
You were going to say something, Zach.
Well, I mean, I've heard the barber's argument. Like I said, I go to professional barber.
Sure.
Yeah. And I asked for his side of the story.
Right.
And mm-hmm. he brought up some points, you know, that made sense. But like I said, I can also understand Paul's, you know, point of view.
Well, and the thing is, there are some safety issues. You're dealing with the public. You're dealing with a lot of different people. You could spread some diseases. So it's important to clean your instruments between customers.
Yeah, but if you're a certified barber, are you definitely cleaning your instruments? I mean, some of that, the certification doesn't accomplish what a lot of people think it does.
I don't know if they are not, but at the end of the day, you could set some minimal regulations telling people, you know what?
Say whether you're licensed or not. If you're cutting public hair, you must do this.
Right.
You don't have
alcohol.
To be licensed to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, there are rules about how you wire a house.
Right.
You know, there's outlets on the walls in this room. I can tell you without looking at them more than likely what how they're wired,
back right
here, to, down to the color of the insulation. Because it's standard. If you don't do it to the standard codes, you can actually hurt people.
But you can hire somebody who's licensed, and they're in a hurry or they're trying to cut corners,
right? And they still might burn your house down.
Yeah. The thing is, now I'm all about the apprenticeship of electricians and all that to learn how things are. And you know, it's probably not a good idea to go wire a house if you've never even
looked at it.
But the licensing doesn't accomplish what a lot of people think it does.
Well, it gives credentials to people sometimes who shouldn't have credentials,
right?
And then it also blocks people from being being allowed to work. Well, who should be allowed to work?
I've got a friend named Cliff who's an amazing handyman. Mm-hmm. But he refuses, he just objects fundamentally to this licensing thing.
Right.
So he loses out on stuff because of it, but he objects on a deep philosophical level to this whole licensing thing.
Right. And that's a reasonable philosophy. And the thing is that, you know, if we simply hold people accountable, like if your friend, if you hire him to rewire your house, that should be legal. And
because I know, you know,
you know his skill level.
But somebody will come along and say, but you could burn down your neighbor's house too. So
the thing is that you can set up regulations. And one of the problems with big cities and people living too close together is it makes it difficult to be free and safe at the same time.
Right.
Because living too close together is dangerous.
Well, I guess you could but regardless of who wires your house, somebody has to come inspect it. Like if I buy a house,
hire someone to inspect it.
Yeah, so anyway, we got to get to a break. Mm-hmm. When we come back from break, I'll give my national concern.
Yep.
I'll try to wrap up what other people have sent in, and then we're going to move over to a legislative recap so far.
Sounds good on
the Dave Elswick Show. I took out 15 seconds. I thought I was 2:30 even. Hard break at 30. At the bottom of the hour,
the clock
Paul.
Is off.
10 seconds.
The clock was about 15 seconds off.
All right.
Apparently, we need to reset it.
Don't forget, at the end of every hour, I'm giving out a free bad joke. Dave Elswick Show. I'm not going to do it, Zach. You're looking. Okay, I'll do it. Stimulating talk with guest host Shane Stacks and Paul Calvert.
So who's doing that?
I don't know. I like it though. It's got to be a Salem guy because I'm pretty sure I've heard that voiceover for like nationally syndicated stuff.
It's not a local guy, is it?
No,
it's not. It's a guy who Dave knows.
Okay.
From Indiana or whatever.
Oh, okay. Dave did that. Okay. I like it. I mean, I know I'm having fun with it, but I'm not making fun of it.
I got you.
Okay. It catches your attention, which it should do.
That's right.
Right. The whole point of that stuff is to break through the background noise and get you. Oh, the show's back. I like it. So, and I also love Dave's, the Thunderstruck. I've talked about this on air before. Elswick. That's AC/DC Thunderstruck. It's great. I know Dave had somebody do that too. Maybe the same guy. I don't know. Okay. So this is Shane Stacks. I'm setting in for, but never replacing Mr. Elswick. And I'm joined by power panel of one today, Paul Calvert. We've been having some great conversations on various topics. Over the break, we were solving the world's problems, talking about the regulation in Arkansas, the barbershop stuff, and et cetera. So here's the thing. Arkansas is one of the most regulated states in period. We're licensed and regulated and this and that and the other.
And this can have
ad infinitum.
And this can have impacts in various different areas. But, you know, when one of the things that people bring up is when people get out of prison, sometimes it's hard for them to find work. And one of the things that makes it harder is when you have to get a license for almost anything you want to do.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that people can learn to do in prison sometimes is cut hair.
Right.
And, well, if you got a prison, you have a skill.
Right.
That's honorable. Cutting hair is an honorable skill. But government comes along and says you can't do that.
Yeah.
Unless you have a license.
Yeah.
And
sometimes the motive is good. But a lot of times it's like, hey, let's bring in a little extra revenue.
Well, and I think maybe the motive with a lot of the legislators who pass these licensing requirements, I think they mean well. I'm not sure if that's true.
Well, I think a lot of the people that jump on to, quote unquote, sponsor the bill are like, hey, look at this revenue we can bring in. Maybe the person championing the bill has a good.
They may or may not. I think a lot of times they do it out of concern for public safety because a lot of times the people asking for it are making arguments because, well, this is dangerous. People need to be, the public needs to be protected from charlatans and whatnot. And I think the vast majority of cases, it's blown out of proportion. The fact is, you know,
it often is, even being
a barber, there are some issues that are real. I think there's a potential for spreading disease if you don't clean your tools properly.
But again, we already said all you got to do is say if you're cutting the public's hair, you must clean your tools. That has nothing to do with being certified.
To a minimum standard.
Right. That has nothing to do with certified.
Right. And so the thing is that you can set up some minimum standards that are basically upholding human rights, because you shouldn't be spreading diseases, whether on purpose or an accident. So it's a public safety. It's a human rights issue, if you will. And so I don't have a problem necessarily with government saying, you know what, when you're dealing with 100 customers a day or 50 customers a day, clean your tools between customers so you're not spreading hepatitis.
And that's the thing. I mean, certifying doesn't – and you can certify people and they still won't do it.
Right. So you can – I think it's reasonable to set minimum requirements, and if you don't comply with those, then you might punish people for lack of compliance because you're actually endangering people's lives. And so an example of this, even from biblical standards, you know, you weren't supposed to just dig a pit and leave it uncovered where someone might fall.
Right. If somebody fell into it, you were responsible.
You could be responsible. Right. Or even another example was having a wall around the top of your house, where I think in that culture they used their roofs as living space, like a deck or something like that, if I understand correctly. Yeah. So they were required to put a wall around so people wouldn't fall off. And that was part of the law. And I think the principle there is that you take reasonable measures not to hurt people, even in accidents. It doesn't mean you can't have a rooftop patio.
Right.
It doesn't mean you can't dig the hole, but take measures to keep people from being hurt by those things.
Right. But now reasonable we've gotten measures. And reasonable being the key thing, right. We've gotten, boy, we are going down some tangents here, which is fine. Sometimes that's the best radio. We have gotten to the point where a reasonable measure is no longer accepted as okay.
We want extreme measures.
If I have a swimming pool and I put a fence up around my house, and somebody climbs the fence and go gets hurt in my swimming pool, I'm liable. That is ridiculous.
It is positively ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Right. You took reasonable measures to keep 3-year-olds.
Right.
Okay. 2-year-olds. 3-year-olds can probably climb your fence. But you took reasonable measures to keep people from drowning in your pool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's reasonable for you to be required to put a concrete wall with a roof around your swimming pool so that no one can get in unless they have a jackhammer.
Right. Well, yeah, it's a thing. I mean, and even then, in today's way of looking at things, if somebody found a way through the concrete, they might still hold you liable.
Which is absurd. And so the thing is,
absurd covers a lot of people's expectations about life.
That is a good example, I think, of how you should, and it's reasonable for you to take reasonable measures, but for you to be held accountable, sort of like these gun manufacturers, they're selling an honorable product.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone thinks, well, we should sue them when some criminal buys a gun and murders somebody.
Well, because in a lot of cases, and I firmly believe this, a lot of people use those situations to make a name for themselves or to rabble rouse, and they go after either A, the most high visibility target that will get the most press, or the target that has the most money.
And I firmly believe that. And that's unfortunate. And so the thing is, you know, there could be some isolated cases where something like that could be reasonable. You know, if you're advertising to gangbangers, like, this is the best way to kill cops.
Right.
Or this is the best way.
If your billboard says, you know, if you want your best chance against 5-0, buy this. Right.
So if somebody was advertising this, or this is the best way to protect yourself while you're robbing banks, you know, I think that might be a good case to open them up for lawsuits, if not criminal prosecution, for that type of advertising, because it looks to me like they're actually advocating for criminal activity. And look, buy our products so you can be safer and be more effective in your criminal activity. And so that would be a case. But when they're actually just promoting their product for honorable uses, you know, you can use Tylenol inappropriately and hurt people.
Well, the demonization Again, not every organization, no organization or person is perfect.
No.
We all have our good points and bad points. But the demonization of gun manufacturers and the NRA has entered what you said earlier, the absurd. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see so many social media posts railing against the NRA as and I'm like, yeah, really? I mean, it's not. I don't know. It's absurd. Well, it's harder. It's hard to solve here in a quick conversation, it's absolutely absurd. It's a misrepresent. People have an emotionally driven, furious misunderstanding of how life works.
Well, I think part of it is they've got some moral confusion, I think.
Yeah, about that's some a nice of way of putting
that,
it.
Is that, you know, if we don't have a good idea about appropriately holding people accountable for their bad behavior, then sometimes we look at, well, it's a community responsibility.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, if I come out and I rob you at gunpoint,
mm-hmm.
is it the community's fault?
Mm-mm. Well,
or is it Paul Calvert's fault?
Yeah. Ultimately, it's Paul Calvert's fault because you decided to take that action.
Right.
Right. The community, I do think the community has a certain responsibility to make
effects.
Sure if a gun is going to be sold, here's how you can buy it, you know, and here's where it can be bought. And we want to make sure that serial number on the gun can be, you know, like, so if it's used for criminal purposes, but ultimately it's on you. You're the one who did that.
Well, and I don't know that I even go that far, but the thing is though that you know, I think there are some community issues that can affect criminal activity kind of peripherally.
Peripherally, they can, but a down economy, if you commit a criminal act, it's still on you that you committed the criminal act.
Sure, it doesn't
right?
justify it.
Right.
But one of the problems, though, is that it kind of comes back to the circle of employment. You know, when we make it so stinking difficult for people to find work, then sometimes we almost force them into crime.
We do, but even talking about Proverbs, we were talking about Proverbs earlier, mm-hmm. even, you know, Proverbs, the Bible, God himself says, if you're starving and you steal a piece of bread, everyone understands why you did it, but you still must pay the price.
No one hates a thief
right.
when he steals
right.
because he's starving.
But it's still a crime.
It's still a crime. And so right. so the accountability is still there. But one of the things that I think that is shameful, I think, is that we make it so difficult for people to make a living by telling them, you know, we know you have this honorable skill, but we're not going to let you exercise
it. Yeah, it does appeal to the more shady, negative, I'm done with this nature of man to, okay, fine, I tried. And,
right.
You know,
right. And it doesn't.
And I got to provide for my family.
It doesn't justify going out murdering people.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, if times were very, very hard and you couldn't find a way to make a living for your family, and it came along that there's a bunch of corn here that you can take to feed your kids, you would take it. And you
because your kid's starving.
And the thing is, you'd be willing to work for it. You'd be willing to pay for it if you could. Willing to work, sell yourself into indentured servitude if you needed to, perhaps.
If my kids are, if it's either my son starves or I go steal something, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go steal something. But most people realistically don't really get put into that black and white of the situation.
You're right. And the thing is that you're not even, your intention is not even necessarily to steal it. You would gladly pay for it. You'd gladly work for it.
Yeah.
If someone would give you an opportunity to work for
it. Yeah. No, I hear you. You know, coming back to the barber thing.
Yeah.
Like if I knew how to cut hair and, you know, the state was like, well, in order for you to cut hair in Arkansas, you've got to go to this course and get certified and that costs $1,000. I'm not saying it costs $1,000.
It's a lot more than that.
I'm just doing a hypothetical.
Right.
I don't have $1,000. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go cut hair and make money. Right. And then if I get caught, I get caught. But I got to feed my kids.
And there's people that do that. And so and one of the beefs that I had, I was talking to a legislator about this when this bill was being discussed. And she was telling me that, well, people can already do that illegally. I'm like,
well, then why have a law?
So why have a law? You say, well, they have the opportunity now. Well, why don't we get rid of the law so they can do it without the risk of being arrested?
Yeah, I hear you.
So I'm one of these people that, you know, when I was a teenager, I learned how to cut hair. I've been cutting hair for a lot of years now.
Well, like I said, I got on Amazon. I ordered some clippers for $20.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has cut my hair for 3 years now.
Right.
And for the haircut that I want, it works fine.
Right. So wouldn't that be cool if your wife could charge $3?
It'd be great.
And cut hair for people in the neighborhood.
It'd be great.
And maybe
a little extra money.
For safety purposes, she washes the head of the clippers in alcohol between every customer.
Well, this haircut here, she could do all day long.
Right.
And it looks fine for some people.
And a lot of people might appreciate that for $3.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Rather than going and paying
and
whatever.
$10 or whatever at the barber. Yeah. And
if I want some super fancy haircut, I'm probably going to go to a salon. Right.
And pay $50 for it.
Right.
Or so, 75 or whatever it is.
I got to get us to break.
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to try to, we'll try if we can. We're getting off with some great tangents today, but we'll try to finish up this. What are your main concerns in these different categories, national versus neighborhood versus family, et cetera. And then we are going to get to a legislative session recap with Paul. Yeah. And don't forget, at the end of each hour today, I'm telling a free bad joke. The Dave Elswick Show. We'll be right back. I'm not going to do it, Zach. I'm not. He's looking at me. So I'm not going to do it. Right here on The Answer. Okay, so we're going to wrap up. And folks, feel free to call in. It's Linda here. I see Lynn. Hi, Lynn. Lynn is the business development person you want to talk to here at Salem. If you're wanting to do some advertising or maybe even get some airtime, call up here and ask for Lynn Dyer, 501-823-0965. Zach will get you to the right person. I love some Lynn. She's taken care of me for years now. So, all right, we're going to finish this up. And folks, for the rest of the show today, if you end up wanting to call in on this, just call in 501-823-0965 on, where your concerns are in these. And I might come back to it during drive time. You know what? It's spring break, so we're probably not going to have as much drive time today, Paul. But
maybe not.
Traffic seems to go down a little bit during spring break.
Hopefully maybe I can get home without getting...
Yeah, without getting in something. Anyway, so on the city I share, I've already shared family, neighborhood, and city, and state. On national, here's my number one concern on national. And I've talked about this a lot in the past couple of years to the point where even Dave was like, you're not as conservative as you used to be. And I'm like, well, I think I am, but at some point, what side you're on outweighs a larger concern. And I really feel that over a lot of issues, we are literally in danger of ripping completely apart at the seams in our culture. And even though I fundamentally disagree with the liberal, leftist, socialist, whatever,
right.
In the long run, what does it matter if my side wins is if the way we do it, everything rips down the middle and tears apart. And that concerns me a lot because, as you said earlier, you hate politics, but you love people, and I don't want to see a country that's so shattered down the middle that we may never recover from it.
So what does rip down the middle mean to you?
That means that literally, essentially, whether guns come out or not, we have basically another civil war.
Would be bad. I think it maybe would be beneficial for some states to peel off.
Yeah.
Peacefully.
Right.
And I think that was a...
Peacefully being the key word.
Peacefully. Yeah. That was sort of attempted back about 150 some odd years ago. Let's say it's secession. Basically, if California wants to leave because they're so different from the rest of the United States,
right.
let them leave. Let them leave peacefully. Don't make it something that has to be hostile.
Right.
Just make it, they don't have the same values that the U.S. Constitution requires them to have in order to be a part of the union.
Right.
And I think it's okay to recognize that if people want to leave the union in mass like that, like California, I'm okay. Maybe only half of California wants to do that. Maybe San Francisco does. Why can't that be the peaceful option for serious differences in ideology?
Right. And I think that there's some merit to discuss there because peaceful being the key word, right. I don't want to, it kind of comes back to what's the point of winning the nuclear war if everything is destroyed? Melted. Right. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. So like you said, hate politics, love people. The part of me that loves people is very concerned over just the deep divide a lot of this divide led by very shallow and emotionally reactionary understandings of the issues. And that concerns me deeply.
I think that's true. And sometimes it's people who don't really know what their own principles are, because there are a lot of times, you know,
they're just echoing.
Well, stuff sounds good. You know, I think it's,
well, the word is specious, you know, specious. It sounds good on the surface, but it doesn't really hold up.
But sometimes because we don't actually know the principles behind an issue.
Okay, fair enough.
And so I can't remember if it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes where it goes, the first side of you hear of a matter sounds good
until the other person,
until his neighbor comes along and examines him. And so, so it's, one side sounds good until you hear the other side.
Right.
A lot of times we have only heard one side,
right?
And so we haven't actually heard the right side yet.
And a lot of times that one side that we've heard is only a soundbite.
It might be. Right? And so, you know, someone comes along and says, you know what, I like nice, tidy, neat neighborhoods.
Right.
Well, that's kind of cool. But you know what? I have a different perspective. I like people to be industrious and make an honest living.
Right.
So there's a guy on my street that he has a messy yard. He's also a little bit slow. I know the man. Not very much. He's just a little below average IQ. He has a messy yard because he sells scrap iron, scrap metal.
So he's being useful
and
making money.
He's being industrious in his front yard.
Yep.
This would bother a lot of people in the city.
I'd rather have that than somebody on welfare with an immaculate yard, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Exactly. So this man is doing honorable, industrious work in his front yard, and it's messy.
Right.
It's not tidy. It's not neat. It's even more
offensive. He's providing a service.
He's providing a service. Yeah. He's being industrious. He's doing something that's honorable. I like to see that more than I like to see the manicured yard.
That's, you know what? I've got to agree with you on that, especially unincorporated. You know, if you go sign up and live in a homeowners association.
Exactly. So there's your opportunity.
Right.
If you want,
I don't want to live in an HOA. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. And but people have the opportunity to do that. They can basically sign a contract with their neighbors.
It gives up privileges and rights for the community, but it's agreed to in writing, and there's a board and all that
they
stuff.
They agreed to it.
All right. I got to get us towards a break. Next hour, folks, we're going to get a legislative recap. What's happened so far in this legislative session from Paul? He's been there to smell the various odors, both good and bad, of everything's being made. Yeah. We're also going to end up talking the show. We're going to talk about speed bumps. Mm-hmm. What are the drawbacks? Evidently there are some to speed bumps I never thought about before. So we'll talk about that. We may talk about the great Girl Scout Cookie War of 2019, which is Thin Mints versus Samoas. Do you have an opinion on that? 501-823-0965. You can also call in on the what are your biggest concern or priority for your family, your neighborhood, your city, your state, and your nation? And you can share on any or all of those. And then we'll also be talking about from 4:30 to 5, we'll have Luke McCoy from the Pulaski County Quorum Court coming in to give us an update on what's happening there. And then from 5 to 6, we'll have the new mayor and a new alderman from Mom Elk joining. So make sure to pay attention to all that. And at the end of each hour, I'm sharing a really bad joke. Now, this one's bad. This one's really bad. What's a dog's favorite action movie, Paul? This one's bad. This one's really bad.
Oh, my. I can't think.
Indiana Bones and the Raiders of the Lost Bark.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. We're in the third hour, 3 o'clock hour, Thursday, March 21st. At 4:58 p.m., we will officially be 24 hours into spring.
4 o'clock hour.
Huh?
Four o'clock hour.
What did I say?
You said 3 o'clock hour. That clock over there is messing us up.
Are we in the 4 o'clock hour?
We are in the 4 o'clock
hour. I thought you said the third hour.
What time is it? Yeah, oh my goodness. Is it already 4 o'clock?
It is already 4 o'clock.
Whoa, we got, it's four. Wow. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I'm looking, that clock's an hour off. I guess it didn't get changed. I guess it didn't spring forward. We're 24 hours.
We've been out of the studio so much.
Wow. Holy smokes. See, this is why. Okay, we got to police each other, folks. 4 o'clock. It's the third hour. 4 o'clock. We're officially into what's known as drive time. We got Luke McCoy coming in at 4:30. So we got a couple. We get this segment. I'm going to let Paul give us a recap.
Yeah.
I'm Shane Stack, setting in for but never replacing Mr. Elswick. He's off on a super secret superhero mission in his spandex, which Elizabeth loves. I got shamed. A listener texted Tom and shamed me for the Indiana Bones joke that I threw. Right before the end of the hour. He said, shame on you.
Indiana Bones and the Lost Ark. Yeah. Lost Bark.
Tom. Yeah, and the Indiana Bones and Raiders of the Lost Bark. At the end of every hour today, I'm giving away a free bad joke. Okay, so, Paul, take it away.
Okay.
For the next, until
you say to stop.
Yeah, until I get us to a break. Give us a quick recap.
Yeah, so there's been some interesting stuff. So, one of the first kind of big-ish things that happened, there was an income tax cut. It was aimed mostly at higher income brackets. In previous years, they have cut some of the taxes for lower income bracket people. And so this session, they cut some taxes for the higher income brackets. It wasn't a very big tax cut. I think it was going to amount to about $95 million a year. But most of it doesn't start this year. Most of it starts, I think, next year.
Now, has that passed?
It did pass, yes.
Okay. So it's passed both houses.
It's passed and the governor signed it.
Okay.
So it's going to happen, apparently.
So it's no longer just a bill.
It's no longer just a bill. Since then, they've been working on some other things. And so apparently part of the governor's agenda is that they want to, and I think they've maybe already succeeded in this, is to raise gas and diesel taxes. About that same amount, so about $95 million a year, from what I understand, is the plan to raise gas and diesel taxes on the wholesale level. And so that's kind of, if we're talking about tax cuts or tax increases, we're kind of even when that bill was passed. I think it's already passed, and I think the governor signed it at this point. And so that's kind of, if you will, leveled out the tax increase versus tax cut standard. Now, we've got another tax coming. It's for the 911 system. I think that's going to raise taxes. I can't remember for sure. I think it was like the total revenue from that was 20-something million dollars, maybe 28 million. I can't remember exactly. And they've got another one coming. It's going to be, I think it might be on cigarettes and maybe e-cigarettes as well. I can't remember exactly, but I think that was about 100 million.
Now, where's that one at? I remember reading about that one. Where is it?
I don't know.
This is what's known as a sin tax.
I think it is, right? Kind of. And so the idea with that one was to raise some money off of sin, if you will. So the cigarettes, I think it maybe applies to e-cigarettes as well, but I'm not sure about that. And then they were going to give some what they call tax credits. Is it an earned income tax credit? I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a tax credit of sorts, which is a little bit of a misnomer because in some cases when people get income tax credits, they get the money even if they didn't pay it in. And so it's not really
run that by me again, because so that's kind of goofy. That's like common core math.
Yeah, it is kind of common core math. And so in some cases when people get tax credits, you know, when you and I hear that term tax credit, that means to us that, you know, if you would have paid – say $5,000 in and you had tax credit for $2,500, that means you could take $2,500 off your taxes. So now you only pay $2,500. Well, what's crazy is that let's say you got a $2,500 tax credit, but your tax bill was only going to be $1,000. Well, that means you get an extra $1,500 cash.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So it's a welfare check, essentially.
Yeah, that's not a credit. That's a
welfare check, yeah. But they still call it a credit. And so, they do that on the federal level as well. And so people that don't pay enough taxes to actually offset some of these child tax credits,
yep,
they still get the tax credits. And so it's a welfare check.
Wow. Yeah. No, if you get a quote-unquote credit that gives you more money back than you paid in. Yeah, that's
a welfare
credit.
Check.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a welfare check. And so it happens on the federal level as well. And so this, I think it's about $100 million tax increase on these specific products. And then it was going to go out in the form of tax credits. I think it's mostly targeted at low-income people. And so some of those tax credits will apparently be basically welfare checks. And so that's another one. And let me think if there's something else that's being looked at. Oh, On the positive side, a bill got passed earlier this session about asset forfeiture. Are you familiar with the civil asset forfeiture that goes on sometimes?
I am. And from what I understand of the issue, I'm not opposed in certain cases, right. But it seems like government gets a little overzealous in when they can seize your assets and sell them off.
So in time,
like these auctions people go to and get amazing deals a lot of times, right?
That's sort of related. But from what I understand, in the past, occasionally someone might get pulled over for speeding or maybe run a red light or something of that nature. In the course of the stop, for whatever reason,
we're going to have to close the door here.
The officer discovers that the person has a big pile of cash on them, maybe several thousand dollars, maybe several tens of thousands.
And they're
dollars.
Like, well, that's obviously
not legitimate. Right. Yeah. So they say, well, your cash is probably guilty. They may not say it quite that way, but your
cash looks a little guilty to me. Yeah, it's kind of shifty eyed.
We don't really know that you've gotten that legitimately. And so they'll take it.
Yeah.
And so what's crazy.
And how hard is it to prove that it's legitimate?
Well,
and
that's part of the problem is that apparently the burden of proof is on the person who owned the cash to prove that it belonged to them, which, generally speaking, if something's yours, you don't have to prove it's yours.
Ownership is nine-tenths of the law.
Unless there's some reason to believe it ain't yours.
Now, is there a cutoff in the amount of money that triggers this?
No.
So I could have a $5 bill laying in my seat and the police officer could be like, there's something fun.
Well, that's the thing.
It looks nervous.
There really wasn't any law about
that. The money
that.
Looks nervous.
There really wasn't any law about that, giving them the authority to take it. I think the issue was the fact that if you didn't get around and file a lawsuit to get it back soon enough, sometimes it was just gone. You could not get it back.
Okay, so let me ask you this just to, because I want to make sure to get through this before Luke gets in for Pulaski County Quorum Court. What is new in this session about this?
What's new in this session?
Yeah, about civil asset forfeiture.
So, Bart Hester filed a bill about this. And so now it's going to require, if I understand it correctly, a felony conviction.
To seize your assets.
To keep it. And so,
on the surface of it, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. And what's interesting is that in the past, I think it was the prosecutors and maybe sheriff's department, whoever else, but I think it was largely the prosecutors, were opposed to legislation that would stop civil asset forfeiture.
Well, I mean, from what I understand,
they were on board with this one.
This is, oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So maybe they saw the writing on the wall.
Another thing that was kind of interesting is that, about a week, maybe a week and a half before they actually ran the bill in committee, there was a Supreme Court ruling that came down. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but just pretty recently.
I am not familiar with it.
Pretty recently, a Supreme Court ruling came down dealing with civil asset forfeiture. And so in that case, a fellow was convicted of a particular crime. And I think the maximum financial penalty was about $10,000.
Okay.
But they seized
like his house or something.
Well, no,
right?
it was like an ATV type thing.
Okay.
That was he had just paid about $40,000 for it. I think it may have been $44,000. But anyway, so the court said that the Eighth Amendment does apply here. You can't take something. You can't take far above and beyond what the penalty would have been. So if the penalty was $10,000, maybe you could take $10,000 worth of property from the guy to pay the fine.
Right.
But you can't take $40,000 for a $10,000 crime.
Like, so anecdotally, this is anecdotal. Right. I don't have proof of this, but the general belief is that some law enforcement agencies will go after a crime because they want to grab all the assets, right, and then use it to fund their
whatever programs they want.
Right, because you can't just take the money and go to the casino with it, or
they use it for things that they want to do. And I kind of have a problem with that because it kind of turns them into
it incentivizes them.
It does,
right?
And it tends to cause them to have incentive to prioritize the type of crimes that are profitable for them, and instead of some of the crimes that maybe just cost a lot of money, like probably not going to make a lot of money for the police department.
Right. If I prosecute this crime and I lose $50,000 prosecuting it, or I go after this crime and I get the dude's mansion,
right.
Which one am I going to do?
Right, or his Escalade, right? Or maybe right. his $200,000 stash of cash.
Right.
And so instead of maybe investigating some child rape cases or maybe a couple of murder cases. Now, I think in many cases, they're not going to just thumb their nose at a child rape case or a murder case.
Right.
But they might have a tendency to prioritize some of the more profitable things. And at the end of the day, you know, you shouldn't be taking money from people if they're not convicted, if you don't actually have evidence they're guilty.
Well, that's just a strange thing to say, Paul.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know what? If I commit a crime where the penalty is $1,000,
right.
I think it's pretty unreasonable to take let's say I have a truck that's worth $75,000.
Right.
Pretty unreasonable to take my truck.
Well, there's also, so you were talking, I don't think many, if any, real law enforcement people, somebody who's not just a scumbag to begin with, is going to say, okay, I got a murder case here of a little girl, or I've got a possession thing here, so I'm going to go after the possession thing to seize assets.
They're not. You're right.
But if you have two crimes of somewhat relative seriousness, mm-hmm. one of them is going to bring money into the department, the other mm-hmm. one's not. That incentivizes you.
It's an incentive.
Yeah, it gives
right.
you the wrong.
And there's some other incentives in place that are similar to that, such as the a lot of times in some. Like in speeding tickets or maybe some other violations where if they find the person guilty in court,
mm-hmm.
the judge's office gets money, the prosecutor gets money, and the police department gets money.
Mm.
That's entirely wrong.
That's a bad incentive. That's really bad.
Yeah. And so one of the things I've been pushing this legislative session is to try to get especially the courts totally funded so that they don't have any kind of incentive to find anyone guilty. So they get funded regardless whether they find one person right. guilty or 1,000 people guilty
yeah.
in the course of a month or a week.
Supposedly, now we know things don't always work like this. The law enforcement is already funded through taxes, supposedly. Right. But there are situations like the prosecuting department in Pulaski County for a while made a certain amount of money off of hot check fees.
Mm-hmm.
And then less people writing checks, less fees.
They didn't have enough money to
and
operate.
They had to change a budget item for that. So right. it does happen. Anyway, I'm going to get us to a break. We come back. We'll talk a little bit more right. about this. And then we should be talking to Luke McCoy.
Yeah, the real McCoy.
Yeah, the real McCoy from Pulaski County Quorum Court before too long. So we come back. 101.1 FM, The Answer, Dave Elswick Show. It's a good thing that I can multitask. Because I've been wrestling with this stupid clock that messed me up earlier, where I thought it was 3:00. It's now updated.
It is.
And I thought it was like, because it says it's radio controlled. So I thought it got its stuff from like the
satellite.
But it doesn't.
Mm.
So you could tell Dave that it's set. And it's not exact to the national time or the atomic clock, but it's a lot better than it was. So
and now it's on 24-hour time.
All right.
Our military time is
I put it on 24-hour time, so Dave can do that.
Yeah, I think he can figure that.
Yeah,
out.
He was in the Air Force, yeah. much like myself. So, you know why you do military time, right? So there's no way to confuse.
Yeah, you don't get mixed up.
Yeah, if you say 0900 hours, there's no way that gets confused with 9:00 at night.
Right.
Right? That's why you do 24 hours.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Because if you're going to bomb somebody,
let's do it the right time of day.
You want to get the time right, okay?
Let's make sure you don't do it while your friends are still in the building.
You know, so we got about 4 minutes till the break, somewhere around in there. We got a good recap on some of the crucial issues. I'm going to go ahead and let Paul keep going with that. I was going to talk today. I'll kind of feel it out. Maybe we'll get into it with the mayor of Maumelle and the new alderman, because cities deal with this issue. Mm-hmm. I really want to talk about the speed bump thing.
Yeah.
So that may be something we talk about with the mayor of Maumelle and the new alderman there and get their take on it. But, yeah, for the next 4 minutes, go ahead and
– Right. And so there's one more bill that I'd like to talk about, and that's by Representative Payton. He has a bill that was going to take – and basically cut used car sales tax. So right now in Arkansas, if you buy a used car that's under $4,000, you don't have to pay sales tax on it.
Right.
And so...
And I did not... My Metro, I guarantee you, I did not have to pay sales tax
right.
on
and
it.
So the, so, right. So right now, if you buy a used car under $4,000, you don't have to pay sales tax on it. He's wanting to move that cap or move that top up to $7,500. And so now you can buy almost twice as much car and not have to pay sales tax
so on it. So what is his... Like, I don't even know why it was set at 4,000. So what's the justification for that?
Well, I think it's just a... He's just cutting taxes. He's just making life better for Arkansans. And so it's a... It never should have been in existence in the first place. I think they say Bill Clinton was the one that actually enacted the used car sales tax to begin with.
So there never used to be one.
No, I don't think so in the past. And so the idea generally with a sales tax is that you generally only pay it on new stuff.
So and basically it's double tax.
It's double, triple, quadruple, right. Okay. Whatever it is. It's a transaction tax. I mean, anytime you have a sales tax, it's a transaction tax. And so
this is a way to lower the burden without fighting the fight of completely getting rid of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
sometimes that's what you
so if
do.
You're wanting to buy a used car that's $40,000, sorry, you still got to pay sales tax on it. And I sympathize with you because I would like to cut that one out as well. But we're just not there yet. So this is good for some Arkansans, and I like that. I like it.
Taxes are generally
right. And so the thing is that
hold on, you got to look up. I'm doing a selfie, Paul. You got to smile. Woo! I'll post that selfie right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
And so what we have right now is a transaction tax on used cars. And so if you want to buy a used car, maybe you want to just trade cars out all the time throughout the course of the year,
right?
And buy three or four and sell them throughout the course of the year. You know, if they're over this $4,000 threshold, then you've got to pay the government each time you buy and sell, essentially. And so it's kind of a burden to do that. But one of the things that makes us better, makes us wealthier, makes us mm-hmm. makes our lives richer is when we can buy and sell from our neighbors. We trade.
Right.
And you know, if you have a car for sale, let's say you want to sell your car for $5,000.
Okay.
And I want a car. I want your car.
Right.
So I give
so you,
you
got a need.
I have a need.
You have a solution.
And you have a need as well. You need $5,000 and okay. I need a car.
Right.
And so I come up and I know that car's gonna work just right for me. And so I have the $5,000 and you have the car. So I buy your car. I got what I needed and you got what you needed. So we're both wealthier.
Right.
We're both better off. But when the government comes along and says, you know what? You know, we're going to need you to...
We got 1 minute left here. If you could just give us a little bit of that,
yeah,
that'd be great.
You need to come along and give us about $300.
Yeah.
Maybe 350.
Even though we already made money off the initial sale of
right,
car.
Yeah. You need right. to give us about $300 for the privilege of buying that car from Shane.
Right.
And if you don't, you know, we're probably going to lock you in a cage.
Well, in general, now there's always exceptions, but in general, less taxes sure. is usually better.
Usually yeah. better. In a free society,
get us to a break,
it should be
buddy.
Small.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to break there. Thanks for the update.
Yes.
Those are important issues. Yes, small tax burden, good. So, if you can't get rid of the tax completely, lessen the burden. All right, got to get us to a break. When we come back, hopefully Pulaski County Court update. Dave Ellswick Show. Where are we at? How much more? Have I got 15 seconds? Keep going, Paul. You got 15 more seconds to talk about it.
So it's a good thing, I think. And so if we can just make life a little better for some people. And
all right, now we got these. Two, one.
One.
Better, less tax. All right. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Ellswick Show. Of course, I'm not Dave Ellswick. I'm Shane Stack, sitting in for Dave Ellswick, but never replacing him. We're joined by a power panel of one, Paul Calvert. We've been having a great discussion on air today. Paul took about the last 30 minutes and gave us kind of a recap on some of the important stuff that has been happening during the current legislative session at the Capitol. If you'll remember, Arkansas doesn't have a year-round legislature. They have sessions that run... They usually start on the same day, but when the end is kind of flexible, depending on when they get their business done. And I think they're they're not meeting
today. Every other year.
Every other year. But then there's a budget or a fiscal session.
The fiscal session in between.
In between. So 1 year is fiscal, the next year is legislative, right?
Right.
Okay. So when we're in a legislative session right now, we're so they're dealing much more with laws.
The major session, which does fiscal and.
Right. And the governor can call special sessions.
Right.
I think that happened a year or two ago on something. I can't remember what the deal was. So we got Luke McCoy from the Plattis County Quorum Court. And, you know, as I like to do, I spent a couple of terms on the Plattis County Quorum Court. And county government is very important, but often gets overlooked. So one of the things that I always try to do when Dave offers me the privilege of guest hosting is I try to get an update. I'll reach out to my friends that are on the court and ask if any of them want to. And lo and behold, we have Luke McCoy, who is here in his capacity as a justice of the peace. That's his capacity right now, even though he has other stuff that he may do down at the Capitol. Today is justice of the peace. So, and then we've got, from 5 to 6, we'll have Alderman Michael Tierney from Maumelle here, and the new mayor of Maumelle will be on from 5 to 6. So if you have any questions or comments or whatever, and this may not sound exciting, but I think it'll be more of an interesting discussion than you think. I'm hoping to talk about speed bumps, because I've heard recently some drawbacks to speed bumps that had never been brought to my attention before. So, and speaking of speed bumps, Luke.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
I know, right? Speaking of speed bumps, given the makeup of the quorum court, most of the time I felt like a speed bump at best on the quorum court. So how's things going these days on the quorum court, Luke? And you tell us what district you represent and all that. Yeah.
For your listeners, I represent District 12, which is almost all of the city of Sherwood. So I don't have any unincorporated area. And basically the district that I represent in Sherwood is between highways 107 and 67-167.
Okay.
So from a bird's eye view, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings all the way up to the north side of Gravel Ridge before it gets pretty country.
Right. And when I was on the quorum court, I represented District 15, which was a lot of but not all of North Little Rock, and I either had very little or no unincorporated area. When you live in an unincorporated area, your JP is very important.
Oh yeah.
When you're in an incorporated area, it's still important, but the issues you would go to your JP with, you normally go to your alderman, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I always like to remind people, the quorum court is important for many reasons, for ordinances and this and that and the other. But for example, the Pulaski County Quorum Court oversees a discretionary budget of over $60 million, most of which comes from your property taxes. So if for that reason only, it's important to pay attention to what's happening, because I wish I could make property taxes go away. This is what I used to say when I was on the quorum court. I can't make the taxes go away. The next best thing I can do is try to make sure that the money is spent wisely. So having said all that, what's going on these days there, Luke?
See, what was it in the 60 millions when you were on
what
the
is it
court?
Now?
Total of 82.
Good grief, man.
And about,
wow.
You know, that,
I haven't been off.
Eight.
I've only been off like 6 years or so. It's crazy.
Yeah, since I joined 2014.
Yeah.
I don't think you were on when I was.
No, you came in the term after
I was. So has government gotten $20 million better?
I don't know. Well, no, I bet not.
I think it was on the higher end of 60-something million.
Good.
Because when I came in, it was low 70s. Now, again, that's before you take out the reserve. So we're working on a $74 million, almost a $75 million
My
budget.
Goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's discretionary. That is after – there's other things that go through the court, but that's money that each year you say, how are we going to spend this?
Yeah, and I brought a printout, not that I think I'll go over all of it. But
Well, go ahead and hold it up so the people at home can see it.
Yeah,
I'm joking. There's no cameras today. Yeah.
Shake it, they can hear it.
Line 30, you will see. No.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll, as a compliment to Shane, before I shortly after I got on the quorum court, I remember – hearing people would say, man, Shane had questions and questions and lots of questions. And
I also heard it as when people were talking too long, they'd say, well, I'm no Shane Stacks, but I've still got to – I don't mind being long-winded, man. But
well,
anyway, go ahead.
I think what it is you got some people that are long-winded that aren't really going anywhere and they love the sound of their voice.
Right.
Or other people ask questions. And I'll even say, I don't know what your experience was, but my colleague, Curtis Keith, Democrat,
Yeah.
I disagree
with his philosophy, but mm-hmm. he's one of the better JPs as far as he tries to think about stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He's able to peel the onion back more than a few layers. And yeah. so I'll usually hold off on asking my questions because yeah. good chance either Phil or yeah. Curtis will ask it before yeah. I get
Phil
to
Phil Stowers
it.
Does a great job. Doug Reed. I'm sure there's some other good conservative JPs on there. I just haven't met them or mm-hmm. spent my, you know, Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul's still running. Paul's still Mom L area,
and yeah. then Aaron Robinson out.
Yeah,
in
I haven't met
area.
Aaron. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't met Aaron. How crazy is it? And then I'll let you give your update. That I can't. Bob Johnson is the mayor of Jacksonville now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were going there. But yeah.
how crazy yeah. is that? Because we flushed him out because he was a Republican. We flushed him out as a Democrat, and mm-hmm. he jumped off and ran for
state house,
and now he's the mayor.
Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah. That's crazy. Anyway, go ahead.
Moving on up, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, quorum court is much like a city council for a city, but for the county. And so, as Shane said, if you're living inside city limits, you've got a city alderman, city council. If your trash isn't getting collected, if there's a barking dog next door, if someone keeps parking their car in their front yard, you can depend on that city council person, that alderman, to lean on and help them take right. care of an issue, among more important things probably too as
right.
well. But but if you live out in the unincorporated areas, basically that person is your justice of the peace and or your county department heads.
Right.
So sanitation, road and bridge, county judge, sheriff, things like that. So
do y'all actually provide sanitation?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Some areas, I mean, I'm trying to remember how all that worked. There was a sanitation fee assigned to some.
Well, I'm sure there might be some areas where the county doesn't
collect.
Cover, and it's private sanitation. But as far as the county itself does offer trash pickup and even large debris and all sorts of fun stuff. And people can go to PulaskiCounty.net to find out more about their county government.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of important stuff that goes on. When I was on the Quorum Court, and even since I've gotten off, one of the things I try to do is keep visibility on county government.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, people pay a lot of attention to city government, and then they pay a lot of attention to state, but they don't pay as much attention to county. And so weird stuff can happen on the county level real easy.
Sure. Is that my cue to move in?
Yeah. Yeah. What's been going on lately?
Yeah. So earlier this year, we had a member, Justice Blackwood. She represents most of like downtown, I believe, and maybe some of the Heights and Hillcrest area.
Yeah.
And she proposed an ordinance to, much like a lot of the cities have, to license any warm-blooded, I think, four-legged animal. With very few exceptions.
So if I have a lizard, I'm okay. But if I have a ferret,
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me just.
I think warm blooded was in the ordinance.
All right. Well, I just watched about 8 red flags pop up when you said that. So when you're talking about unincorporated areas, and you say much like cities do, comma, where is it a fundamental issue right there?
Sure. Yeah, we are. Obviously, a lot of people move out to the county to get away from city ordinances and can't park my car in the yard.
Now, Paul lives unincorporated.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I grew up half my childhood pretty much almost from about fifth grade to senior in high school. Most of my childhood was raised on 5 acres just north of the air base. But yeah, so.
And I know you're from around here because you call it the air base. If you're from around here, it's the air. Yeah, it's not Little Rock Air Force, it's the air base.
Yeah. So, Julie Blackwood, good intentions, but obviously probably lots of unintended consequences or maybe intended consequences, I'm not sure. But she proposed an ordinance and lots of people showed up. So, my time on the Quorum Court, I'm going into my, I guess, fifth year now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man, you got more experience than I do now.
Third term.
Yeah.
So lots of people showed up. So there's only been 2 times where people showed up that much. And that was the non-discrimination ordinance, which dealt with like LGBTQ personnel policy stuff.
Now, when did that come? Dude, I remember the bicycle stuff.
Man, there was a whole bunch of people.
I was telling somebody the other day that the most like.
Was the watershed for you? Or?
Well, the watershed was crazy.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing I got involved in, and I'm still stunned we were able to do anything at all with that.
That was nice how it worked out.
But there's so many people upset. Like, you should have done more. Like, what more did you want me to do? But anyway.
The Hail Mary was completed.
Yeah, moving on. Did what I could. Feel good about it. Bike riders. Now, I'm not down on bike riders. Bike riders are great. I love them. I'm saying politically, some of the most blunt, aggressive, politically single-minded one-issue voters I've ever met are bike
riders.
Probably
a good way to, the single-minded, because it was like they didn't care about anything else. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and I had people tell me, frankly, all these other issues you talk about, I don't care. All I'm worried about is the bike riding stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not
they
saying...
They want their fellow taxpayers to pay for their bike
I guess. Or, I don't even... They just, that's all they cared about. Like, I knocked on a guy's door one time and said, hey, I'm running for JP, and da-da-da, and he goes, well, how do you feel about bikes? And I said, well, it's important, but there's these other issues, too. And he said, well, all I care about is that bike issue, and if you're not going to vote that way, I'm not going to vote for you. And I said, well, I'm glad I stopped by, and I kept going, you know? But anyway, yeah, they were talking about having horses coming across the big damn bridge. That was one of the biggest powwows. Anyway, go ahead. I'm interrupting you.
Yeah, so this warm-blooded, four-legged animal ordinance. Basically, you had to license your dog. You had to make sure they were vaccinated and so on and so forth. It was going to cost so much, and the penalty was this and that. If you didn't comply and you had this long to do it, so on and so forth. And all the details were fleshed out, but there was lots of people there. So she pulled it, wisely so, and brought it back the next month. But when she did that, she just limited it to dogs and cats. And here's what I was telling Shane right before we went on air. This was kind of funny is – she got up to talk about how this was going to save the county taxpayers money by instituting this licensing fee and so forth and so on, because long story short, the North Lock Animal Shelter was charging the county to take the county's stray dogs and cats, I guess, if they pick up stray cats.
And hold on a second. Michael, you're in the studio now. Yes. Michael is a new alderman on Maumelle. This could affect you, too, with what the county does and the agreements it makes with animals. So, I mean, feel free to chime in if you want. But sure, anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Mrs. Justice Blackwood got up and presented her
ordinance. Made the big statement.
And she said basically the whole crux of it was this was going to help us save money over the long run and not have to pay out this large money to the city of North Little Rock to take the county strays.
I love what you're about to share.
And so, 5 or 10 minutes of discussion went on, and the gentleman with sanitation, and I apologize, I forget his name, but got up to speak, and someone said, how much are we paying North Little Rock? And he said, nothing. Y'all stop doing that last year. And so I wanted discussion just to end right there and say, hey, we don't even need her ordinance, you know? But it failed. I don't remember how it failed.
The sad thing is that one of my frustrations, and you were sharing earlier that, I've got a reputation, depending on which side of the coin you're looking at, for either asking a lot of good questions or B, never shutting up. In fact, the judge, Valines at the time, different county judge now. When JP's are departing, the last meeting of the year, he says, do you have anything to say? And I'm like, no. Everyone else was giving these big departing speeches. I was like, no, what's done is done. There's nothing else to say. And I got a standing ovation. So that really happened. But that's one of the reasons I ask so many questions, because a lot of times, even the JP's sponsoring an ordinance didn't understand what they were even doing. Mm-hmm. And when you dug, you either found out we need more information. There were times we found out what there was trying to done, not intentionally on their part, but just through ignorance, broke the law. I mean, you got to vet this stuff.
One of the biggest things I remember when I joined the Quorum Court is we were instituting ordinances to be in compliance with the law from 4 or 5, 6 years prior.
Right.
And I was shocked that I was like, I guess Judge Valines just thought, you know what? I don't have to do this until someone sues me or forces me. And it seemed like we were bringing up county code to state law.
Right.
6 years after a law went into effect.
Right.
We did that, I think, first few months.
Well, I will say this.
Judge Hyde was just getting everything back up to legal,
I will say this. For both good and bad, Judge Valines had a lot of experience, and he knew what was
clever.
He, for both good and bad, there were times where I agreed with what he was doing and was glad to help him. There was other times I was in dismay. But But I've heard, and I think we've talked about this before, I've heard that Judge Hyde's done a pretty good job, is what I've heard. I'm not saying everybody agrees with him all the time, but I've heard he's made a pretty decent judge as far as, you know, common sense and following the rules and stuff like that.
I think he's big on efficiency, so I think he has made some things streamlined and efficient. And I know that gets tossed around a lot in politics probably, but when you had Judge Valines, who was set in his ways.
Oh, yeah.
From what I understand.
That was his court. I mean, that was how, yeah.
He was set in his ways. He only did stuff if it was a benefit to him or the county specifically, or until someone said he had to. But I think Judge Hyde came in and has, again, brought the county code up to speed with the state law and so forth. And also, from what little I see, I don't think Judge Hyde really got along with a lot of the other county department heads.
Yeah, no, I've heard some of that. Even to stuff like he was like, okay, we can't leave early the day before a holiday. That's against the law. Yeah. Okay, I got to get us to a break. Sure. We'll come back and talk a little bit more with Luke McCoy, JP from the Pulaski County Quorum Court here on the Dave Elswick Show. Well, I'm stimulated, baby. That's all I can tell you. All right, we're coming up on the end of the third hour. It is about 4:54, so we got about 5 minutes till the next break. We're talking with Justice of the Peace Luke McCoy from District 13, right?
12.
12 from Pulaski County Quorum Court, talking about, you know, just the 70-something million dollars, really technically 82-some million dollars property tax money going through the discretionary fund of the Quorum Court and other things. So there was this ordinance that came up twice. Julie Blackwood, JP Julie, is she District 4?
I'm not sure.
Something like that. One of those lower numbered districts, anyway.
Wait, hold on.
I'm trying to, you have to count out where she sits in the horseshoe.
Four.
Yeah.
I believe she's District 4.
Yeah, I think she's 4. Yeah, that's how I always did it. Is Tyler Denton still on the court? Yeah. I like old Tyler. He's the one that helped us Hail Mary that watershed stuff, man. Anyway, okay. I'm not saying I agree with everything he does, but
you don't.
You know, I don't. But on that, you know, he was anyway. Okay, so moving on. So they wanted to license. We got 4 minutes here till break. They wanted to license all of the first. It was any warm-blooded four-legged animal, which could cover some people, I guess, depending on how much they've had to drink. And then there was an outcry, so it changed to just dogs and cats. Michael, who hasn't talked so far this segment, he's a new alderman in Maumelle, and he was getting calls about this, he said, and then it kind of went away, you know. So
It did not pass.
Yeah, it didn't pass. Mm-hmm. They wanted the license pets in an unincorporated area. Which there's two or three issues that go on in this. Now, we had a pet-related thing where they wanted to force pet owners in unincorporated areas to spay or neuter their pets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the objections were, A, this is unincorporated. People are trying to get out from under, you know, regulation. B, and this was the big one for me on top of the other one, we don't have the resources to keep up with that.
It's none of your business.
Yeah. Well, they're right. That's the first part. They want to get out of regulation. But B, even if I agreed with that, which I didn't, there's only like two or three animal control people for the whole county.
Yeah, there may be four, but still.
There's no way they can keep up with that. Well, so there's no way to enforce it.
Let me kind of pivot here.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear about the case that went to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis for the dog that got picked up by all right, so this is, to the best of my knowledge, this is how it went down. So a Pulaski County stray pet officer, I don't know what they're called, animal officer.
Oh, so this happened here and went all the way up to the
This was like within the last 2 years, I believe, and it made the news, and you can probably Google it and find it. But Paul, you're going to be, if you haven't heard about this, I'm surprised.
Is he about to explode?
No, well, maybe. So this gentleman had like full-blooded German Shepherd with all the papers.
Dog.
Yeah, valuable dog. And the dog he purchased came in possession of this dog because it could breed and it could make him money and so on and so forth. He was doing everything by the book like he should.
Right,
so
like he's supposed to.
Dog got out.
Okay.
It's picked up by, I believe, the sheriff's office or an animal control officer with the county.
Now, is this where the dog died while it was in custody?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. And so, I don't know the exact details, but I know the generic story, but I believe the sheriff's office deputy did not, he or she did not do what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that was. I think it was to like contact some vets or something. I forget exactly. Nonetheless, the North Little Rock Animal Shelter got the dog, and they ended up sterilizing the dog.
Oh, yeah, okay. I did.
They
oh, wow.
sterilized
so
the dog.
And the dog.
And then,
so
and
they
ruined the guy's investment. Adopted, yeah, they yeah. adopted the dog out. Well, the guy had like several thousand dollars, four, five, six, yeah. $7,000 invested in this dog. And, oh, man, I felt so bad. And but I was shocked it went all the way up to the federal
court. What was the ruling?
Appeals.
What did they rule? Do you remember?
I think the guy won. I think
the, so the county had to pay him?
I assume the county was responsible.
All right.
And, wow. Yeah.
That, all right, crazy. I got to get to a break. That's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy. But
it's unfortunate.
As promised, I'm giving out a free bad joke at the end of every hour. Are you guys ready?
All right. Let's I got to give away.
One. Okay. Let's hope Elon Musk never gets into a big scandal. You know why? Elongate would be really drawn out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We'll catch everybody next hour on the Dave Ellswick Show. Hey, I can't hear myself. Am I Zach? Okay, there we go. I had that turned down. Sorry, that was a little janky coming back.
It's Thursday. We usually replay this 5 o'clock hour. And I totally forgot to change up the logs.
Oh, okay.
Make the changes.
Okay. No problem. Well, folks, you're getting a straight-up live hour, not a replay. I'm Shane Stack, setting in for, but never, for once, the coming back from break was not my fault. Hallelujah. So, I'm Shane Stack, setting in for, but never replacing Mr. Ellswick. He is... The cover story is on a family trip or something like that, but really he's off in spandex punching tyranny in the jaw. Not tyranny. Tyranny is my guest. Yeah. Tyranny.
That does get confusing.
Yeah. Tyranny. In the jaw.
Same pronunciation, different spelling.
Different spelling. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm setting it for Dave. As always, thanks so much to Dave and 101.1 FM The Answer in Salem for the opportunity. I always love guest hosting. And, of course, I have a show every Saturday. At 1 o'clock, Shane plays Geek Talk, where I just have fun, do geeky pop culture and stuff like that. And Michael, you were a guest a couple of weeks ago because you have that historic Tarzan story that you finished one of Edgar Rice Burroughs's stories.
Yeah, so, that was quite an honor. It's a story that was begun by the original author back in 1930, laid unfinished. A lot of different top writers that were given the opportunity to look at it. Nobody knew what to do with it. Once I looked at it, I knew exactly what to do with it.
Yeah, so that's. Really cool stuff, and people can go by. We're not here to you're not a sponsor of Dave's show, but I'm just letting people know that you're a local businessman. You own comic book shops in North Little Rock and in Little Rock, Collector's Edition, and
the comic book store
in Treasure Hill Shopping Center, and they can often catch you there if they want to know more about that. Also joining us is Paul Calvert, who is the power panel of one today. Paul and I have had some great conversations, both on topic and in tangents. And on the phone is the mayor of Maumelle, Caleb Norris. Mayor Norris, welcome to the Dave Ellswick Show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so glad to have you. Thanks that you could join us. You know, I was talking to Mike, and I was like, hey, would you like to come on and kind of share what it's like on the Maumelle City Council now? And you know, he's like, well, would you be interested in talking with the mayor? And I was like, I would absolutely be interested. So thanks so much for making the time. I guess really with both of you on the show, I don't know if you're listening to the radio in the background there, if anybody is or not, but there's just a little bit of an echo. Not sure. But anyway, it's not bad if nobody can do anything about it. Tell me, and I'll let you go first, Mayor, and then I'll talk to Michael. Mayor Norris, you were the city attorney before you became mayor, correct?
Correct, and then I was on the city council for a couple of years before that.
Okay, so you've got experience both in the executive branch and in the legislative arena, and then now you're actually the mayor. So I guess maybe it hasn't been a huge surprise to you how city government works.
That hasn't been no. What's surprising is the amount of paperwork that comes across my desk. You know, I had an office here. The city attorney position was full-time, and so I was just down the hall for 4 years. But it's really amazing the amount of paperwork approvals that come across the mayor's desk, everything from signing checks to, I don't know, you name it.
It's almost like, you know, I compare the when I was on the Quorum Court, Pulaski County Quorum Court, I compared the Quorum Court to the board of directors, and the county judge was like the CEO of the county. So did you kind of feel that way about being a mayor of a city?
No, absolutely. That's the case. It's a very different position. You know, as city attorney, you are much more in an advisory capacity than you are as mayor. And of course, going from city council to mayor is interesting. I think it's given me a good perspective, is I firmly believe that the city council is the policymaker of the city. And so it's my job to sort of steer the ship, you know, at the direction of the city council. And sometimes it's easier just to make decisions yourself than to take them to the council. But the right thing to do, if it's even close to being something that's under their purview, is to take it to them. And so I've been working on increased transparency and just trying to create a more open government.
Well, excellent. So how do you know, as a mayor, when is the right time to take something to a council, and what is under your authority to just, I mean, what are you, you know, when can you just make the decision yourself?
Well, so quite frankly, I think there's some things that are clearly council decision, ordinances, resolutions, that sort of stuff. We have a project out here that is being designed. It's a extension or a repaving and a widening of Crystal Hill, that portion that's in the city limits out here. And I have the purview of changing the plans. That's within my authority. But I wanted to take that, for example, to the city council and get their buy-in. One of the things that happens when you move in-house as opposed to out-of-house, I consider city council members out of house. They still have their jobs. They live their life normally and are part-time legislators. As soon as you move in-house and it becomes your job and you're there all day, it's so easy to fall into a bubble. So I like taking things to the part-time legislators, if you will, because they are often in tune with their wards. If they're doing their job right, they're in tune with their wards better than I am, and so they're the better representative of what the people want. If in doubt, or if you have to ask the question about whether you should take it to the council, I say take it to the council.
Well, that's fair enough. That's a very, very respectful approach.
Yeah, glad to hear that.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, the different city council members representing their wards. One of the things that I ran into on the Quorum Court, and don't get me wrong, it's important to take care of your employees, your county employees, your city, you know, your city employees. You want to take care of them, respect them, or whatever. But a lot of the JPs seem to feel like they were union representatives for the county employees rather than representing their constituents, which was odd to me. So I don't know if that's a dynamic that, you know, people run into. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think we have that dynamic out here in the city, but the balance is, you know, it's helpful to remember that as an elected official, well, we think we're so special and we are the city. But to the average Maumelle resident, their interaction with the city isn't with its elected officials.
Right.
It's with the receptionist or the permit clerk or the police department when you call 911. Or the sanitation folks that pick up your trash and handle your recycling, or the people that are fixing your potholes. And at the end of the day, if we are not able to compete on the market to get good folks, then you're going to lose good folks. And you know, money pays the bills. And so I think our city council and the city as a whole has been pretty good at balancing balancing the needs of the employees and against what the services we're trying to provide and the cost that's there.
Excellent. So I'm going to kind of shift this over to Mike here in a second, Michael Tierney, who's a new alderman. But what led you to want to run for mayor? Did we lose?
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were shifting the question.
Well, I'm about to, but sorry about that. The last question I have for you at the moment, before I put Mike under the into the hot seat, is what led you to want to run for mayor? Like, what was the, you know, the, I know that the existing mayor, I believe, said he was going to step down, but what was it you're like, you know, I really want to get in there and see if I can make a difference? What was the issues or the driving force behind that?
I don't know. I'm one of those guys that always finds a way to put my nose right in the middle of whatever's going on. It's just how I up as city on the city council and then city attorney. And actually, for a while, 4 years ago, I was trying to find someone that would run. I think the previous mayor had said he wasn't going to run. I said, I don't want that position. We need to, we need to find folks. And I was out there talking to people. And over time, I wasn't finding someone that I thought was interested and wanted to do the job and who I thought would do a good job. And then you go home one day and you're like, I guess the only person that I can think of that's up for it is me. So it's just a matter of being the type of person that likes to get involved and do things. It just sort of became the natural step, if that makes sense, getting involved at a higher level.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I haven't gotten as involved with politics as you have, you know, being both a city council member and now the mayor. One of the things that enticed me to run for JP was I started paying attention to quorum court and city council meetings. And over time, I said, really, the only difference between me and a lot of those people up there is they decided to run. There's not a special sprinkling of magic fairy dust or anything like that. It's just people that wanted to get involved. So, and so if there's people out there that want to make a difference, there's nothing special about.
No, no. The only advantage someone that is on the council has to maybe someone who isn't is just having usually attended more meetings and know more about what's going on. I think Michael Tierney here is a great example. And one of the reasons I love local government is you can sit at home in your underwear and read minutes or watch a video of the council meetings and complain about what your city government is doing. Or you can go door to door and run a campaign. You don't have to be a super well-connected person. You don't have to dump loads of money into the campaign. It obviously depends on the city, right? Little Rock races are going to be different than Maumelle races, which will be different than Wrightsville races. But you can get involved. And every single person that I think is on the city council here in Maumelle is doing it for the right reasons. They just want to better their community. Now, I don't always agree with them, and they won't always agree with me on what that means. And I think that one of the most important things is to realize that there's no sort of a master plan or someone trying to, you know, get rich off a city council seat, if they are, by golly.
I don't know how you're going to do it, but right. Yeah, there's not, you know, there's not as much, I mean, there is some shenanigans in politics, I'm sure, but there's not as much as you think. A lot of the stuff is done simply because that's the way people think it needs to be done, not because there's some shady interest behind it or something like that.
Yeah, and here's another thing. If you don't like what's going on, maybe you don't want to run, you don't have the time. There's different boards and committees, but shoot your council member an email. It's amazing what you and a friend or two can accomplish by sending emails or making a couple phone calls. I used to think when I was on the council that I went out of my way to get public input, and I would. I'd send out an email sharing my thoughts, let people know it was on the agenda. At the end of the day, I might hear back from two or three residents. Mm-hmm. And if it's an issue that I didn't feel strongly about one way or the other, I tried to do what I thought the people who elected me wanted them to do. So, you know, get involved, reach out to folks. If you're not going to run, you know, Michael Tierney's a great example of someone who's more than willing to sit down and talk with you. And I think all our city council members are.
Well, and I got to get us to a break. Then we'll come back and talk with Michael and yourself more. But, you know, one thing I noticed when I was on the quorum court, if I got emails about something, I was like, okay, this is important to some people. If people showed up at a meeting and talked, I'm like, this is really important to some people. So You know, and Luke McCoy kind of mentioned that a little bit in the previous hour from the Quorum Court. Anyway, I'm going to get used to a break. We come back. We'll have more with Maumelle Mayor Caleb Norris and Maumelle Alderman Michael Tierney right here on the Dave Elswick Show. Well, okay, it's actually Shane Stacks today. I'm sitting in for Dave Elswick, but never replacing him. But still, I hope that you find it stimulating. We're talking with the new mayor of Maumelle, Caleb Norris, and also newly minted Maumelle Alderman Michael Tierney. And we just got a really interesting update from Mayor Norris on, you know, why he ran and his approach to stuff. You know, like he thinks things should be run through the city council, you know, when there's ever any question whether it should or not. Now, Michael, you ran last year and won. Mm-hmm. You even shared with me that your time was very limited compared to some of the other candidates, but you were able to successfully, you know, campaign and win. So congratulations.
Oh, nice.
From my own experience, the first time I sat in the JP chair, it was both very exciting, but also kind of scary. What has it been like for you so far to be an alderman in Maumelle?
Well, you know, it's been great, actually. Everybody's been great to work with. We're all kind of one mind. I'd like to say one thing about Mayor Norris. I thought it was a very brave thing that he did when he did run for mayor, because he was the city attorney, and he actually had to take a pay cut
right. And
risk his livelihood to do the job. So, you know, we have right. People who are there because they want to be there. They have a job that they want to do, and they're out looking for the best interests of the citizens and the city. So it was a great group of people to work with, so I'm pleased with that. I'm fortunate that I've had like 38 years of being a retailer, and so many of my customers are residents and voters.
Right.
And so I've already got a lot of experience dealing with the public. And so in a way, it's just kind of like not as hard as being a retailer, because you have more control over your situation in a retail environment than what you do in a public environment. Sometimes people will get mad at you about things that you have no control over. They might want you to do something that's illegal, like, I'm sorry, we can't fix that pothole right. Because that's private land and that's illegal.
Well, there's also separation of powers. You know, they'll bring you stuff that, like, no, that's really the executive. I mean, I can, you know, the legislative branch is not the executive branch, is not the legislative branch, right? There's checks and balances there. So what was it that I know you've shared with me, but so if people are curious, what led you, you know, you already had a very busy schedule. What led you to want to be an alderman?
Well, you know, I got tired of being one of the guys who complained, and I wanted to be somebody who could actually do something about it. And one way to do that was to get out there and run. And it's like I kept telling all the other councilmen when I joined them, I said, look, I'm just here to jump in the boat and grab an oar. I'm just here to row. Right. And, you know, I'd been active in both Little Rock and North Little Rock. I'd done volunteer work on both of them on committees, and I'd also talked to the city council out there in Maumelle about issues that I felt that needed to be changed. Those changes were made, and they improved for the city, and so I got very active. Other people had been encouraging me to do this for like 20 years, and finally just one of those things, you just got to do it.
Right. Okay. So what has been your most surprising? Because you think you know what it's going to be like till you get in it. Like, what's been the number one thing you're like, well, this is surprising, or this wasn't either in a good way or a bad way? Like, what's been the most surprising?
You know, I really haven't been surprised by anything yet.
Okay.
It's, you know, I guess that is a surprise that it's I won't say it's been easy, but it's been familiar, and everybody's been great to work with. I've really thought if there was a surprise – that it is not as difficult as I thought it might be. You know, the people have been good to work with. I mean, so you'll get people asking you to do things that just can't be done. But, you know, people need a sounding board, and right. That's the job of being an alderman, is you're the person that they, hey, here are my concerns with the right. City, and you're the person, you know, they bounce it off on, and you've got to communicate back with them as best you can.
So how often are – now, when I was a JP, since I was in incorporated area, I didn't get a lot of direct contact from constituents. Some, but not a lot. How often are you getting reached out to?
It's more often my stores. I sometimes refer to them as Maumelle North and Maumelle South.
Oh, how funny.
Because I have so many of my customers come in, and they will come in and they will talk for quite some time. Sometimes it's a little hard to get my work done some
days. Right, you're like, I do have a business to run. Yeah.
Especially right after I was elected. I mean, that's all I did for, you know, like a week or two was kind of hold court, you know, like it was City Hall North and City Hall South. I mean, it was wild. But, you know, and that's the great thing, because I know so many of the voters, and it's not just people in my ward, but all the other wards. So I have a pretty good feel for what everybody's concerns are.
Good. Okay, well, I'm about to have to get us to a break. When we come back, I want to ask both yourself and Mayor Norris what you feel the biggest challenges you'd like to address for Maumelle. And then I'm sure Paul Calvert's going to have some questions for you as well. We come back. Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM. Oh, we still got 20 seconds. How do I keep messing this up?
Well, I would say one thing. That,
yeah, go ahead.
Mayor Norris and I both had kind of the same agenda when we ran. We both ran with the idea of reduced taxes and improve city services, and everybody kept saying it can't be done. Right. But I think we're going to show people that
there's
it can.
Always a little room. Yeah. Okay, now it's time for a break. We'll be back with the Dave Elswick Show. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. It is 5:35. We're in the final hour, final 30 minutes. We're in the bottom of the hour, as they say, on today's show, Thursday, March 21st. I'm talking with Maumelle Mayor Caleb Norris and Maumelle Alderman Michael Tierney about just, you know, Maumelle politics and their approach. Now, they're both new in their positions. However, Mayor Norris was previously on the city council, I believe, for two terms, and also a city attorney. So, you know, a little bit more experience with the city government. Michael's jumped right on in and sounds like he's enjoying himself, and it's about what he expected it to be. So we'll continue this out through the end of the show today at 6. If you have any questions, I meant to throw this out. If you have any questions or comments, this is a wonderful opportunity. If you live in Maumelle or even Pulaski County and are curious about things in Maumelle, to ask the mayor or Alderman Tierney. And our number is 501-823-0965. That's 501-823-0965. Now, one of the things I want to know about, what is a pressing issue that you really want to roll up your sleeves and get to work on in Maumelle. But before that, I got a picture here that you'll appreciate, Michael. It shows Mickey Mouse holding the Infinity Gauntlet, clenched. Have you seen this? It's clenched. And instead of the Infinity Stones, it's Star Wars, Marvel, 20th Century Fox, and Pixar. And then the other Infinity Stone is Disney, because the merger went down.
Oh, okay. They got Fox
Disney
now.
Finally, yes.
I know they've been working on it.
That is crazy. Anyway, okay, so I'll start with Mayor Norris and then ask you the same thing, Michael. And then I want to give some time. Paul Calvert is in. He's a power panel of one today, and see if he has any questions. But so Mayor Norris, what would you say is your number one issue or policy or something that you really like? This is the one thing that you really want to make sure you get done, like that you feel is pressing for Maumelle and its citizens.
That's hard to measure. If you're talking about something that you can see, you know, we've got that third interchange being built.
That comes up a lot.
Yeah, it does. And for several reasons, one, it'll alleviate some traffic, not a whole lot. With traffic, the odd thing is folks say that they'd live here except the traffic. Well, if we fix the traffic, guess what happens? More folks move here, which increases the traffic. But also as far as economic development, the way the tax structure is set up in Arkansas is cities are very reliant on sales tax. And a bedroom community like Maumelle is a fairly affluent community, but not necessarily an affluent government. And that's because we just don't have the retail base that some other places are. If you ask folks in Maumelle where they go shopping and spend their sales tax dollars, it's all over the place. So we need to increase that to be able to give folks some of the things that they expect or that we see in surrounding areas. And that's something that you could measure. As far as maybe an intangible, what I'd really like I use the word transparency. I want to increase transparency, but that's not right. Transparency isn't the right word. If you want to know if a business is open, a transparent business, you'd get out, you'd go peer through the windows and see if they're open. I want sort of communication on a deeper level, and we're working on that. We've brought in a communication coordinator, and we think that social media will be a great way to communicate and stir up conversations and just get the viewpoint out there and be available to the public. I think that we need to do a better job letting folks know what their city government is doing.
Okay, fair enough. Those Very interesting to me. The traffic thing in Maumelle comes up every time Maumelle comes up. Anyway, so Michael, as an alderman, what is your like number one thing that you really hope to accomplish in this first term?
Really surprised you hear me say this. It's the traffic. I mean, right. But one thing that Mayor Norris said he's very accurate about is about the more transparency. I remember while I was running, before I ran, you'd ask every person the same question. You got a different answer every time. So that was very frustrating out there to, you know, figure out what was happening, what was going wrong. You couldn't get a straight answer on anybody. We couldn't get the same answer twice. And so that's one of the things I think is great that we're improving on. And the traffic has got a lot of improvement to do. I mean, there's several different things we're looking at doing. And one of the things that Mayor Norris recently introduced is a redesign of Crystal Hill. I know Crystal Hill Road.
Is Crystal Hill part? Well, okay, so part, the road, okay.
Right, yeah, Crystal Hill area. Road. Right. And there's a part of it that is north Little Rock, but the big part of it is in Maumelle. And it's they've had the bond money to do repairs on it since like 2015, and nothing's happened. They had a big plan, four lanes, bike paths, walking paths. It's going to do a lot of encroachment, easement into people's properties, which nobody was excited about. Well, and that's one of the things I was saying, hey, we need to do something different on that. He was saying the same thing. He's worked up a plan, and it's going to eliminate the whole need for easement. You're still going to have the bike paths, the walking paths, and just two lanes now, and you won't be taking people's front yards away from them. And it's going to get done now much sooner, where before we've been sitting on this money for years, and it possibly might be less expensive than what the other plan was. And if so, that would be another way to reduce taxes.
Now, Mike, you're not allowed to have an approach like that does things better and has less encroachment on people's property and is cheaper. You're just
Who cares about property rights, right?
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. Yeah,
that's a joke, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, I figured, yeah. Very
but that's what everybody expects. Yeah. It's like, you're
hold on, I got to quote the mayor. Baumel Mayor says, who cares about property?
Yeah, I know you're clear.
So when I was on the quorum court and the watershed stuff came up, I learned really quickly that easement is a soft-sounding word that can do some very hard things to people. So, and sometimes, you know, I guess in some weird, you know, every now and then, wait, you know what? I'm not even going down that road. Just if you cannot put easements on people, good.
Let them keep their property.
Right. You know, I've been told that, I guess, technically the first 2 feet of my yard in Little Rock, I don't really own. Like, the city can do whatever they want with or something. Yeah. But anyway.
North Little Rock did easement on my JFK property, and now they want to do it again.
They do it again,
they just keep cutting into it,
There ain't nothing easy about it.
They want to do all these bad things to it. I'm like, no, I'm not down with it.
All right, guys, I got to do this to you. I'm going to unleash Paul Calvert on you. Okay. He's often on Dave's power panel, you know, and he's very keyed into to local politics. So I just want to, you know, Paul, if you've got any questions or anything.
Yep. So we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. I know a guy. He lives on my road, actually. And he's, you know, he's a little bit special. His IQ may be a little bit below normal, but he works for a living. He has a messy yard.
Now, Paul, I told Michael to promise the mayor that I wouldn't bite.
Okay.
So be nice.
No, I'll be nice.
Anyway. I didn't tell Michael that I would only come on if there
was something. So anyway. Okay, so this guy has a messy yard because of what he does for a living. He picks up scrap metal.
Yeah.
And he keeps a messy yard all the time. And he's making an honorable living. He's being industrious on private property. I think he rents the house from somebody. His landlord lets him do it. And so it's messy all the time. Mm-hmm. But he's engaging in an honorable profession to make a living. And you know, I'm a landlord, and I don't own any property in Maumelle. I own it mostly, or all of it there in Faulkner County. But I tend to think that private property should be people should be allowed to do that sort of thing on private property and be able to make an honorable living, even if it is kind of messy. So Mayor, what are your thoughts on people being able to utilize private property, even though the neighbors may not like the way it looks? I mean, is the private property trump the aesthetics, or do you think the city actually has authority to tell them, you know, you really can't make a living that way?
That is a great question. So I had Senator Bozeman had a representative out here, and I was talking with him earlier today. And we got a little bit abstract into government and its role. And we got to talking about small government versus big government. A lot of times people talk about sending things from the federal government back to the state. It's a state's rights issue.
Right.
And if you take that argument and extrapolate it further, local government has, for the reasons we were talking about earlier, a lot more authority on your day-to-day life, how tall your grass can be, where you can park your cars. You know, if the federal government did that, or even the state, or in some places the county, people would just get upset. But we grant smaller, more local governments more authority, which is fitting, because if you don't like the rules, you can call it, right? My phone number's out there. You can call your council member. Heck, you can get upset and become the council member.
Right.
If we were talking about my personal preference, I often get a little bit annoyed when people tell other people what to do on their property. That is mildly a nuisance, right? That is, maybe I don't like the color of something, or I don't like the scrap metal out there. So when you counterbalance that to Maumelle, which is a community that was basically built on these higher codes and not letting folks do that, I understand that some people want to live in that community, and it's where I chose to.
Mayor, if I could just interrupt you for a second. Is it true that Maumelle started as a completely planned community from the ground up?
That is correct. And while you tell people if you don't like the laws in America, move, isn't reality. Americans, you know, they may threaten to move to Canada if the president they don't like gets, or the candidate they don't like gets elected. Right. They rarely don't. Same thing with states. But the fact of the matter is, you can move really easily from Maumelle to, say, North Little Rock, and parts of what people think are Maumelle are actually North Little Rock.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm a little more okay with cities doing things that I'd be really upset if bigger governments did. My personal preference might be to let people live their lives, but I also understand that I represent folks that like clean and tidy yards and don't want nuisances, and they paid a premium for their home to live in a community that has the aesthetics that they want.
So is Maumelle a big homeowners association? Is that how that came about, or is it more the conventional city?
What's a city?
Well, I think there's this plan. There city of the first class.
There was this wave of sort of planned communities in the 70s or 80s. I don't know. It came out of that, if I remember.
There was
right.
a lot of financing that was very friendly for people trying to buy the property.
Right.
And so Jess Odom, you know, bought Maumelle away from North Little Rock, I believe it was. And
interesting.
Because homeowners associations, they'll set a lot of covenants, size of your house and maybe the type of siding you have and all this other sort of things, and maybe what you can have in your yard and whatever else. And so that's one of those, it's a private contractual arrangement basically everybody agrees we're going to not have old junk cars in our front yards.
Right. It all depends on the community that you're living in. Some community, I'm with Mayor Norris. I don't want to infringe on somebody else's. But if you move into a community where it's accepted that this is a standard, I remember when I was considering moving to Maumelle, and I had a customer tell me, well, I'd never live out there. They won't let you put a junk car on the street and just leave it. I'm like, well, you just talked me into it.
Yeah. So it's, I can see both sides
it's
of the
difficult,
argument.
Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I've got to get us to a break. I will say that if you're in an unincorporated area, you know, people move out there. So if you've got a scrap yard in your front yard in an unincorporated area, leave that guy alone.
Right. That's why they got so upset when they were trying to legislate their dogs and cats.
Right. But within each city or township, I guess it's up to each individual city. I don't know. There's a lot in Paul's question that unfortunately we don't have time to really.
It is. It's a great question.
Yeah. There's a lot of rights and liberty issues versus community. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to get us to a break. When we come back, we'll be in our final segment before the end of the show. And folks, don't forget, at the end of each hour, I'm giving out a free bad joke. So you got to listen to that. We'll be back with the mayor of Maumelle, Caleb Norris, and Alderman Michael Tierney after this break on the Dave Ellswick Show. I gotta do it, Zach. One more time. This show. stimulating talk with guest host.
That is funny.
Shane Stacks and power panel of one, Paul Calvert.
I didn't know William Shatner's here.
Yeah, yeah. Why? mayor, tell me. No. So we're joined by the mayor of Maumelle, Caleb Norris, and Alderman Michael Tierney. We had a fantastic discussion. Actually, I played witness and audience to discussion between Paul and Michael, where they continue talking about the property rights versus preferences. We're talking about, you know, somebody having a scrap iron basically mess in their front yard, but yet they're selling scrap iron and making money and providing. It was fascinating. I wish we had, if we had another hour on the show,
it'd be a fun discussion.
I'd say let's cut loose, but there's so much going on in there. But it was a really interesting question. So I wanted to ask Mayor Norris and folks, we've got about 6-7 minutes left. If anyone has a question or a comment or a concern for Maumelle City.
Or a pat on the back.
Or a pat on the back, yeah.
We take those two.
Yeah, we really do. It's 501-823-0965. Feel free to call in. I had a quick question. This came up actually after, Michael, I knew you guys were coming on today. A friend of mine, here recently, two things have happened right on my street. One is somebody the other night, and there were actually like kids playing in the yard and stuff like that, was going too fast, did something crazy, drove into this guy's yard, wow, tore up his yard, and drove off. The next day, my wife, who like saw somebody just blasting down our road, you know, wasn't able to get their license plate. And so, you know, I was so my friend who lives a couple of houses down the road where his yard got torn up, you know, somebody's like, man, you should get a speed bump. And he did some research and he actually found a lot of negatives to speed bumps. Now, I'm not saying these negatives are legit. I don't know. I've never really looked into it. I know that to get a speed bump, you, at least in North Little Rock, you petition your alder. There's a whole process you go through to get a speed bump.
Same out here. It's a daunting process.
Right. So, you know, and I've always thought of speed bumps as a good thing. Evidently, there's a whole, and there's reports, and I'm just now digging into the research, so take this with a grain of salt. But evidently, speed bumps lower property values on homes. I don't know. I'm not saying that's true, but that's one of the arguments I'm hearing.
I've heard that, yeah.
Up to like $5,000.
Wow.
Of course, there's the damage they can do to cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, evidently, that a lot of times speed bumps, all they do is people slow down and they go over the speed bump and then they accelerate real fast and peel out, taking off.
So noise pollution.
Whatever. So I don't know. From a city government perspective, does any of that sound legitimate? I'm not saying that these are real. I'm just now digging into it.
I have heard the latter. I have heard that... it also depends on where the speed bump is.
Right.
You didn't include that poorly designed speed bumps also have the effect of slowing down first responders.
Right. That was was another thing I saw. And they cost like $7,500 to put in.
I don't know the exact cost. Yeah. I think there's some. So going door to door, and I knocked on about 1,800 doors when running for mayor. The best survey you can get, because it's not just passionate people on Facebook or the people reaching out to you. It's just your average Joe at home. What do they have to say? The number one issue they mentioned was traffic to and from Little Rock in the morning and evening. And the second issue, I thought it was going to be, you know, the city raised one sales tax by 1% last year, or they doubled the sales tax from 1% to 2%. I expected people to be ranting and raving about that. I expected a whole bunch of things. Speeding in residential neighborhoods was my anecdotally, informally polled second biggest issue to Maumelle residents.
Well, let me tell you, it didn't used to be for me, but I got a 5-year-old now, and that's important to me. I love those signs people put out that say, drive like you lived here.
Yeah.
Right. I love those. So, but, and yeah, here's a couple other things I'm seeing. We got about 3 minutes here left. I'm actually seeing it increases wear and tear on residential and commercial vehicles. You mentioned increased noise levels. Somebody's making the case they increase air pollution. I don't know. And they reduce fuel fuel. That sounds like a stretch.
Slowing down, revving up.
Yeah, but I don't know. Michael, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm not a fan of speed bumps.
Okay. But I mean, if somebody, but as an alderman, sometimes, like, if somebody comes and petitions you for one.
Well, there's exceptions to everything.
Right.
I mean, it all depends on, does it apply?
And, right.
It's like we were talking earlier on the other matter. It's just, are you infringing on other people's rights? Is it going to be a benefit or is it going to be an infringement?
Right. And I mean, yeah. So what is the, and we, like I said, we've only got a couple of minutes here, but it, for me anyway, this stuff is interesting.
It's an alternative to punishment.
Well, I mean, I can see the point. Like,
that's what it is. It's an alternative punishment because we don't punish people. We just basically force them to slow down or you're going to tear the snot out of your car.
Well, plus you don't have enough police cars to monitor every street at all times, right?
There's a few other ways you can do this, though. If you design roads with natural traffic calming devices built in that aren't speed bumps, that does it. Where I'm also looking at portable radar speed displays, those things you see them on the highway tell you how fast you're going. How many folks, how effective those are at slowing them down if you move them around or get temporary ones you can put on light poles. We've got a little experiment about to start out here in Maumelle to see if there's some ways that we can focus on that.
Now, are you in favor of the orbiting space-based lasers that will just blast a car off the street? how does Maumelle fellow feel about those, Mayor Norris?
Who has the codes for the lasers?
Okay, we're coming up on about a minute. Mayor Norris, Caleb Norris, has been involved with Maumelle City Government for several years, is now the mayor. Michael Tierney, who's a longtime Maumelle resident, now an alderman. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us on here, Shane.
Really enjoyed the discussion.
Absolutely, thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the discussion. Paul, as always.
Yes, sir.
Zach, thanks for running the board and being the best board operator out there. And I got it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess we can tell by the fact that nobody called in that nobody has a problem at Maumelle.
Yeah, everybody's fine. Exactly.
I'm going to hear about that later.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I got 30 seconds. I've got to give out the bad joke. And thanks again to Dave Ellswick and to 101.1 FM The Answer and Salem Media for the opportunity to guest host. I always enjoy it. Okay, this one's really bad. This one will curdle your cheese. Are you ready? If a cow won't produce, is it a milk dud or an utter failure?
Yes.
Yes.
All the above.
All right. We'll catch everybody next time. Robert Steinbach will be in tomorrow. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll talk to you later.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.